about.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the perfect mix of low intellect, high lack of ambition, and limitless parental support.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
I'm so hot, I need some mother loving of a mix. I'm so hot, I need some mother loving of a mix.
I'm on a hunt for what can only be described as the world's weirdest penis.
Show hands, who else has an erection?
You guys can goof all you want, but you're making fart noises on the Titanic. You think anybody is entertained by this?
KROQ is my FM 106.7. Oh, yeah. Tell me your love. You're something special. Get on the bus. Sidecar Bandit.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hey, get a good seat. We got a hot one today.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, my goodness. We're going to need a bigger boat.
Roll another.
They're tricking you because you're dumb.
Just like the other one.
I despise
this one. Seems to be about to quit.
I want a good
and
I movie.
Need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Hey, one more thing.
Nope.
Roll.
Even deaf people are complaining.
Just like the other one.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
This one seems to be about to end.
What's with Kevin's hair?
I don't have another cent.
Oh no!
Okay, that man was totally gay.
There is a new way to get a facial.
Just pass it around.
That explains my boner.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Let's all keep it funky now.
But just pass it on down.
And now.
Is this what marijuana feels like?
No, I don't think so.
Because I don't like it.
No, I don't think so, honey.
Our feature presentation.
I can't get enough of those kind of videos. People coming out of anesthesia for dentistry.
What a terrible thing to do to a family member, by the way.
I agree, but I love watching it.
Why would anyone ever do that to somebody? Take them at a moment like that.
It's like us.
It's funny.
It's like us putting Kevin on the radio. It's just cruel.
Wait, what?
It's just embarrassing.
Wait, hold on. What?
It's mean of us to have Kevin go live on the radio.
But people love it.
Yeah, Lisa, the people love it.
Exactly.
Like on 24, you don't take the president who has Alzheimer's and make him give a major speech anymore. You keep,
right.
You keep him in the family quarters.
How did this turn on me so fast?
Is my microphone on?
I don't know. Everything sounds weird.
I can't hear myself
at all. Oh, you can't hear yourself
I think my mic is off, but you apparently can hear me.
We can hear you.
I'm also sitting next to you. So
that's true.
No, yeah, Lisa can hear you.
I can hear you.
Everything does
sound
weird.
Is next to me?
She's not.
Oh, all right. Just going to double check.
You should be able to see that.
How are you, Ralph? You sound rough.
I'm having a busy Comic-Con.
Okay. Yeah.
Not much sleep.
Ralph looks great, though, by the way.
I do look great.
That's true. In his defense, he looks awesome.
He doesn't look like he just crawled in here after a late night. I mean, he looks fairly well-rested and pressed.
No, that's what the King of Mexico looks like.
Yeah. King of Mexico looks terrible.
Good morning, everybody. It's a brand-new Kevin Abicho. It's Friday, the 25th of July, and we are broadcasting live from the San Diego Comic-Con.
Whoop-de-woo. We are in the Hard Rock Hotel, second floor, if you are heading on down here today. We actually did have some listeners who listened to us on the way down yesterday and then came down and said hello to us during the show, which I thought was pretty cool. But we do have a great program for you today. We'll tell you all about it in a minute. But first, here's a story I think both of you guys will like. What's the deal? Kevin, you like the flaming. What is it? You like the flaming Dr. Pepper?
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
What is that drink? Describe that drink to me, please.
I can't even remember. It's some type of alcohol that you drop a glass of beer into.
Oh, but so there's no actual fire.
And then you light it on fire.
Oh, you do light it on
fire.
It's
like 5150 you put in it too, And then you light it. It's like jet fuel, and you light it on fire, and it's the best drink ever. And then you drink three of them, and you lose 3 days.
They put 5150 in it? They put you on a psych hold before you
use the right thing? What was I thinking?
Bacardi 151?
151. Yeah.
Well, I just assumed I didn't know the terminology there.
So did I.
5150.
They put 5150 in there.
Yeah.
Now, the straitjacket.
I am not a drinker. Please explain to me the benefit of setting your alcohol on fire. Like, how does that make it taste better or go down easier?
Doesn't really.
It's awesome.
Why, though? What is it? What's it? What?
There's
what's
no explanation
to having your drink
on fire.
There's
no explanation. You can say, well, what, look at that art. Why is that art? There's no explanation.
But you're putting fire in your mouth. That's very different than looking at a painting on a wall.
It's just theater, man.
It's just good fun.
Ralph, you were a bartender.
I was.
Did you make flaming drinks?
Occasionally, I'd get a request for a
flaming drink. See, there you go.
Drink. And people enjoy them?
Almost always from douchebags.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Regular people just don't drink flaming drinks.
Because there's no need to put your food on fire.
But the thing about the flaming Dr. Pepper is it tastes so much like Dr. Pepper that you could drink them all night, and that's where you run into trouble, because then you drink them all night.
All right.
Well, and then you get into a 5150.
Then you get a 5150, right.
The reason I bring all this up is there's a video that has become very popular online that was from a bar in Lithuania. It happened
those
on
are the best.
July
Lithuanian bars.
11th. This is in a city as known as Panavis, is probably not the correct way to pronounce it. In the video, the bartender can be seen preparing the drink, which is called the Flaming Lamborghini.
You
guys familiar with that at all?
I am not, no.
All right, let me tell you about the Flaming Lamborghini.
You need to try it, though.
Sounds even more complicated than Kevin's Dr. Pepper. A Flaming Lamborghini consists of Sambuca and Kahlua, which is then set alight and drunk quickly through a straw while it's still on fire. The drink is then doused with a shot each of Bailey's and Blue Curacao, which is then drunk also. So there's a lot going on in that.
What could go wrong?
So you're drinking it through a straw while it's on fire, which to me means your face is on fire, right? It seems like?
Well, I don't think your face is, but your
mouth. I don't think that's the goal.
It's not gasoline either, Bean. The flame off of alcohol is very small.
Okay. Well, here's what happened with this man's Flaming Lamborghini.
He pictures like a stomach full of alcohol on fire, right?
A flame shot out at the man who did catch fire. His face was on fire.
What?
Other patrons in the video appear to put out the fire by smothering the man's head with their hands. The victim's sister in the article said that the bar owner and the bartender both visited her brother in the hospital. While the article did not specify the man's injuries, it did note that he was taken into surgery.
Wow. Hey, sorry about that whole thing where your face lit on fire.
I do have the video up if you guys would like to see the actual flames.
I would, actually.
So this is this young lady right here is
the good radio.
Bartender.
Listen to us
I'm
watch
enjoying
the video,
it.
Everybody.
And this gentleman right here is the guy who's about to get the flaming Lamborghini.
All right.
Let's go ahead and start that. She is pouring. And now here's where she lights it right there.
Yeah.
All right. Now she's pouring something else in.
Right.
Yeah.
And any second now, you're going to start to see. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Oh my God.
Wow. He is. They are.
He's engulfed in flames.
Engulfed
Lisa?
In flames. Yep.
He looks I have like to human, see this. Put
the
this
human
up.
Torch in the Fantastic Four.
That is not what you want.
He wasn't on fire for very long. You see that the other patrons rushed over and started patting him on the head and everything to try to get the fire out, which they did. And he's still standing. It's not like he's down on the ground and burnt. But
I just want to know if he's a trooper and he said, "Where's the rest of my drink?" That's what I want to know.
Come on. Give me another one.
I can't imagine what went wrong there unless he sneezed into the straw and blew it out of the glass all over the place.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, because you were talking about how the flame's pretty little, but definitely, I mean, that one, that looked like about a what? At least a 2-foot flame, right?
Yeah.
That one shot up.
Yeah, I need one of those.
So,
yeah,
there you go.
I really do.
Hey, here at the Hard Rock, can you get us a couple of flaming Lamborghinis, please?
Not sure they're going to bring them in the morning. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I would have a hard time doing that.
Yeah. It's Friday morning. That means we have the movie beat. Ralph, tell us all about the movies that are coming this weekend.
Should see Ralph's face. First, he's heard of that. First, he's thought about that.
No, we got movies today.
We visited the Comic-Con floor, Bean and I. We have some highlights of that.
Oh, good.
The people down there are very colorful. Very colorful.
And can I tell you, Ralph?
You
good time.
They threw you out the way
First of all, they are so grateful to see us again after all these years of coming.
Liars.
I don't think we saw anyone who has been coming as long as we have out there on the floor.
That's probably
I mean, pretty much.
Although, Ralph, we did ask somebody who he was dressed up as, and he said Superman. So maybe we weren't the people to be doing
Maybe you're not the Comic-Con correspondents.
Those interviews. We also have Zachary Levi on the program today.
Love Zach.
From Nerd HQ and a bunch of great shows. We have Ian Ziering and Tara Reid. Talking about Sharknado 2,
oh,
the second one. Oh,
my God.
Yes.
Right?
They're back.
Which may be the best movie ever.
Tara Reid thinks that Sharknadoes are possible in real life, by the way.
Well, they are.
Wait, what?
She thinks that Sharknadoes can happen in real life.
Of course they can.
That's the best news I've ever heard.
Yes, sharks sucked up out of the water by a tornado, sharks would be in the tornado.
Right. I've never
that's
seen
science.
That. I'm not sure.
Just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it can't happen.
Well, this is going to be better than I thought. We also have Chris Martin from Coldplay on the program
today.
Wow.
Love Chris.
And a little fellow by the name of Daniel Radcliffe.
Nope.
All on today's Kevin
DeBee
Show.
I'm saying I don't think you're going to have him.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah.
Why?
We shall see.
Oh. Ralph is Comic-Con Central.
Uh-oh.
I am Comic-Con Central, and I believe he's still in Toronto with a visa problem getting into the country.
Oh, excellent.
Well, just use American Express then. If the problem is paying for your ticket.
It's not a credit card.
It's a customs issue.
Hey, Dave, can you be Daniel Radcliffe today?
I know he missed yesterday.
Let me see. What does he sound like? Jellio chap? Yeah, sure. Why not?
There you are.
Done. Did he have things scheduled at Comic-Con yesterday as well? And,
yeah.
and he wasn't.
He was not in attendance. He was still stuck in Toronto with a visa issue. Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he has arrived, Ralph. So,
oh, yes.
Yeah, but I mean, he arrived. Says at 2 a.m. So, we shall see. We shall see.
Here. We'll see.
All right.
Yeah, it's 50-50 at best.
Oh
there.
Yeah,
it's 51-50 at best.
Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
About this time every hour, Ralph Garman fills us in on the showbiz news, and it's weird because we're in the kind of the epicenter of showbiz world right now. So much of the news that's happening is happening right here within a mile of where we're sitting.
That's right. Because I am the vice president of show business.
That's right, man.
It must be nice to have One Direction money.
Of course.
Apparently, Zayn Malik, one of the members of One Direction, got a gift for his girlfriend the other day. He bought her a carnival.
What?
Carnival full of rides and amusements and food booths and games and stuff, and he just got her a carnival.
That's not a thing that you buy for a person?
How do you wrap that?
Well, he rented it, I guess, for the day, but it was just her and him sharing the day in a giant, massive carnival. They had the whole place to themselves.
So this is like when Bieber rents out Staples Center to watch Titanic. It's one of those kind of FU money deals where I can afford it, so why not?
Right, and I'm not going to be bothered with anyone else that
right.
doesn't have as much money as I do.
Wow. Did you guys know there was somebody named Zayn in One Direction?
No. Z-A-Y-N. I'm guessing it's Zayn, right?
I think it is.
Sure.
But...
They think they may know where Casey Kasem's body is.
Oh, thank God.
They're starting to narrow it down. As you know, it was revealed that his body was picked up in Tacoma, Washington, from a funeral home by his wife, Jean, and then sent somewhere, but nobody knows quite where. The Montreal funeral home that was supposed to receive the body said they never received it. So now a private detective has been hired by Casey's daughter, Carrie, to try to track down the body. They believe it may be somewhere in Montreal.
Is Don on the phone?
Maybe Don knows. But they can't narrow it down. They think this may have something to do with Casey Kasem's wife, Jean Kasem's new boyfriend, John Paul Gressy is his name.
Okay.
He lives in Montreal.
Oh.
And he may be helping her stash the body somewhere.
What the hell's going on here?
What the hell is going on
what
here?
What the hell?
Can we just bury this guy and be done with it?
She has a new boyfriend 6 weeks after her husband died?
She had a new boyfriend.
Yeah.
Well before her husband
okay.
died.
Okay. All right. That's it.
And this guy lives with her now in her Malibu condo.
Ah.
And that's his hometown. And they're speculating that maybe she is trying to hide the body because Carrie Kasem, the daughter, wants to have a autopsy on the body to see if there was any abuse going on before
right.
he died.
But at some point, doesn't a police officer or someone knock on the door and go, hey, we're going to need the body.
Can we see your fridge?
Right.
We think you may have something other than leftovers in there.
Well, this is an interesting update because up until this story, Ralph, we were trying to figure out how Montreal worked into the picture. Like, what was the connection there? Because the family lives in California. The body was in Washington. How did it end up in Canada, you know? So now we maybe know.
Can
right?
we call Montreal right now? Can we call Montreal
I'd rather
and
not.
See what they're doing over there? Because we have a contact in Montreal, don't we?
I don't remember if it's a good contact.
Let's call up Montreal and see if maybe they can give us some information on this story.
No, not Montreal. This is Monty Hall.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Or you can just play the punchlines.
That's it. That's all we have.
Sorry, okay. Monty. I didn't mean to bother you. I thought we were calling Montreal.
Yeah.
Hey, David Lynch has a new job. You know, the surrealist director behind Eraserhead and Blue Velvet and Twin Peaks.
He's genius crazy.
He is genius crazy. You know, he's doing had a music career for a while.
Oh.
Polly!
Terrible, terrible music.
As a red shirt!
Remember, the videos were even more honked up than the songs.
Yeah. He has a new line of women's workout gear.
What is happening?
He is releasing his own fashion line of women's workout gear. It's a company, athletic wear company called Live the Process. And you can pick up the David Lynch scoop bra, the David Lynch corset bra, and the David Lynch leggings.
That does not automatically make sense to me.
Why? Why?
Because I like to see women in underwear, Coop.
Everybody does, but you think women are going to go, hey, David Lynch has some new underwear. We should get it.
David Lynch is so odd. All the sports bras have three cups. Very strange. And Iggy Azalea's got a new gig. She has been named the newest host of MTV's House of Style. Following the footsteps of Cindy Crawford and Rebecca Romaine and Molly Sims.
I didn't even know that show was still on the air.
New season kicks off on August 4th, and Iggy Azalea will be the host.
You need to open up a blog, man.
I guess so.
That should give her some street cred, Iggy Azalea with the rap community.
Sure.
Hosting House of Style on MTV, talking about fashion.
How does she get away? How is she so popular, Ralph? Why is there not more backlash of her being a middle-class Australian who talks like she just stepped out of the hood?
Yeah, she's just a
it's
fake on
weird,
every level.
Weird, right?
But she's kind of hot, so maybe.
I guess so. And she is talented, but you'd think that there would be some pushback on her appropriating the African-American community.
I'd like to push back on her. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
We do, yes.
I don't think you know that.
Yeah, we do. We do.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Matt LeBlanc from Friends is 47 years old today. Michael Allen Welch from Twilight also turns 27. Nope, not also, but 27. Ileana Douglas is 49 and model Iman. That's David Bowie's wife still, right?
Yes.
She is 59 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:23, broadcasting live from the San Diego Comic-Con.
And we actually went out onto the floor yesterday to interview participants. By the way, Ralph, you're absolutely right how many hot chicks there are at Comic-Con this year.
Thank you.
I mean, right?
Yes.
We talked to all of them, too. That interview's coming up in about a half an hour or so.
That's all we talked to. I just took hot chicks and said, hi, I'm Bean.
Our friend Zach Levi from Nerd HQ on the program today. Ian Ziering and Tara Reid from Sharknado 2, the second one. It's all coming up first, though. Friday means it's time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
A ton of movies coming out this weekend, including the guy we just talked to, Gabriel Iglesias. Fluffy himself has a comedy concert film that captures the onstage performance and the inspirational success story of this guy, how he rose up pretty much from the hood and made good. See what I did there?
That rhymed.
Yeah, I sure did. Here's some clips from the trailer of The Fluffy Movie.
23 countries.
Everybody can relate to what he talks about. They don't see a fake guy. They see their cousin, their neighbor.
One Hawaiian shirt.
I started doing yoga, and I know that sounds like a joke right there.
He means yogurt.
No, yoga. I started dancing. My son is like, you're fat. Your fat's going everywhere. Well, guess what? This fat makes your mom horny.
Okay.
See?
The white man may not know about Fluffy, but he's one of those comedians who can sell out an arena.
Yeah, it's
he's
nuts.
Huge.
His success is insane. Also coming out this weekend, a brand new Woody Allen film.
What?
Woody is back as director and writer of Magic in the Moonlight, a romantic comedy about an Englishman who's brought in to help unmask a possible swindle, and personal and professional complications ensue, as they always do in a Woody Allen film. Colin Firth stars, along with Emma Stone. Marcia Gay Harden, Hamish Linklater, great cast. I love Woody Allen's work. This looks very entertaining. Colin Firth is just the best. I'm going to see him later on today. I'm doing a panel for a new film that he's starring in called Kingsman.
Wow.
Where he plays a secret agent. It looks very entertaining as well. But here's a scene from Magic in the Moonlight where Emma Stone is telling Colin Firth that she'd be happy if she was a fake.
You'd be happier if I was a fraud, because then your whole fixed worldview wouldn't be shaken up.
No, it's quite the opposite. If you knew how much I don't want you to be a fake.
Oh, but think how embarrassing it would be for you. Your whole life, you spent publicly crusading against spiritualism, and then you'd have to come out with it and say that you were wrong.
But I'm not wrong.
See? Just boner. Who cares? She's a medium.
Get to it.
Very Good Girls opens up this weekend in limited release. Dakota Fanning and Elizabeth Olsen both star in the film. Demi Moore is also in it, and wow. Peter Sarsgaard. Story of two New York City girls who make a pact to lose their virginity during their first summer out of high school. Problem is, they both fall for the same guy.
Oh,
ladies, what you gonna do?
Hey, there are plenty of us to go around.
That's what I'm saying. Especially Elizabeth Olsen.
Yeah.
That's a good deal right there. Here's a scene where Dakota and Elizabeth Olsen are talking about being virgins.
I can't believe that you were talking about sex. Apparently in my house, you don't really talk about it, you just do it. We're the last ones.
On Earth?
At Erasmus, at St. Anne's. That's basically the same thing. We're going to college, and we're still virgins. We gotta get over this hump. You didn't say that.
Is that a thing women really aspire to?
I don't, not that I'm aware
to
of.
To lose their virginity? Is
Lisa?
That, is that a goal?
Not so
Lisa?
Much, generally, unless you're 25.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there an age at which you go, how come I haven't?
Probably. Maybe.
Is this
yeah.
a thing now? There's pressure on high school girls to lose their virginity?
I hope not.
College?
I don't know.
Yeah, I got a 4-year-old daughter. I hope not, too. Also opening up this weekend, And So It Goes. Rob Reiner returns as a director.
Wow.
When's the
really?
Last time we've seen Rob Reiner direct a film?
I don't know, but what a catalog of phenomenal movies this
Absolutely.
Man has brought us.
I've missed his work. Michael Douglas stars in this film along with Diane Keaton. Michael plays a self-centered realtor who enlists the help of his neighbor, Diane Keaton, when he's suddenly left in charge of a granddaughter he never even knew he had until his estranged son shows up at his doorstep and drops her off saying, Dad, you got to watch your granddaughter for a while, and then splits. Here is a scene where Michael Douglas meets his granddaughter for the first time.
What do you think you're doing?
It's just 9 months.
I told you I have no room.
What's going on?
It's my son. He's on his way to jail.
Wait, who's that?
That's my granddaughter. She's probably Guatemalan.
What?
He had sex with the maid once.
Dad, this is Sarah. Sarah, this is your...
Oren. Nice to meet you.
She's probably Guatemalan. He had sex with the maid once. That's funny. Hercules! Hercules, Hercules, Hercules! Opens up this weekend, of course, The Rock. Dwayne Johnson stars as the legendary demigod Hercules. This looks good.
I think so, too.
I think it looks good.
Yeah.
He kills a lion and wears it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I want to wear a lion.
Does it scare you, though, that you agree with me that it looks good?
Yeah, I'm going to have to rethink my whole life order right now.
Funny thing on the internet this week, all the people on complaining that Hercules is not white enough in this movie. Have you seen that controversy?
No.
People on Twitter who are saying, excuse me, Hercules was white. The Rock can't play Hercules. Hercules wasn't real,
God.
You guys. Wasn't a real person.
And he's a Greek. He's from Greek mythology.
Right, exactly.
And Rock looks a lot more Greek than...
You know, there are a lot of people in this country who are still of the opinion that if it ain't white, it ain't right.
That's
you know, whether
crazy.
You're talking about the president or your characters in mythology.
It's hard to even imagine.
I know. Complaining about that is insane.
If he's Greek, he should be sort of a swarthy-looking
right.
Greek dude, right?
Right?
Here are some clips from the trailer of Hercules.
We believe in you. We have faith in you. Are you only the legend, or are you the truth? Behind the legend, who are you? I am Hercules!
Oh. Why is everybody yelling?
Because he is Hercules! I'm going to yell that during sex when I see my wife when I get home from San Diego. I think that'll go well. Right at the moment of importance, I'm just going to unleash with a, I am Hercules!
Good luck with that.
Thanks.
Like an update.
And lastly, Lucy opens up this weekend.
Yay!
The lovely Scarlett Johansson stars as a girl who, through a series of mishaps, she's caught up in this dark deal, and she is transformed into a warrior that evolves beyond human logic because she uses 100% of her brain.
Sort of like me.
Exactly like Kevin.
Right.
We have to make a sequel called Kevin.
Right? How dare you?
Starts off using 10% of his brain and then uses less and less and less and gains special Kevin powers.
How
as he uses
you?
Less of his brain. Scarlett Johansson in this scene, busts into the middle of a surgery and blasts the patient on the operating table, and then asks the surgeon to remove the drugs that are inside her, causing her brain to develop and evolve beyond that of mortal men.
Hey, miss!
I need help. It's urgent.
He cannot be in here. We are operating. Please, get out.
You wouldn't have been able to save him anyway. The tumor already invaded the cortex on the right side of the spine. Somebody put a bag of drugs in me. I need you to remove it. It's leaking. Do it now.
Right. I'll just administer a local anesthetic.
Don't bother.
She doesn't even need anesthetic. Now, with her brain, she can turn off her pain.
She has a leaky gut like Lisa.
That's right. Weird. Lisa doesn't have any superpowers. Yeah.
Who's the director on this? Luke Besson, right?
Yes.
And he's a talented dude.
He sure is. Morgan Freeman co-stars along with Scarlett Johansson. Looks like an entertaining film. A lot of people online complaining about the fact that if you used 100% of your brain, you probably wouldn't be able to stop time and move matter and things like that.
This isn't a documentary?
This is not a documentary.
Oh, wait, no. Is this fiction?
This is fiction.
Then tell people online to shut the F up.
They're saying it's not possible. It's a dumb premise because we all use 100% of our brain anyway. We're just not cognitive. So you would just be the same.
Wow.
Is that going to keep you from seeing Lucy?
No, it looks awesome.
Yeah, it looks fun. That's the Movie Beat. I'm Ralph Garman.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
Comic-Con is going on down here for the 45th year in a row. It's Kevin and Bean and 200,000 of our closest friends. And there's so much going on beyond the stuff that's kind of official and in the convention center. All over San Diego, amazing events are happening. Dave, you saw Linkin Park last night.
I did, yeah. They were playing the MTV Fandom Awards. So they were taping that. Last night, and
it was at Petco Park.
It was at Petco Park, yeah, right behind the stage, right behind the right field pavilion and stuff like that. So
right.
Yeah, they rocked out for about 30 minutes. Yeah, it was good. It was a good set.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, Chloe Grace Moretz was there to introduce a clip for "If I Stay." It's gonna air, I guess, in July.
Oh, blah blah what? Blah blah blah.
Wait, what's happening? What?
You didn't invite Roland, did you?
Roland.
No. Hi guys, welcome to my world. How's it going?
What? Roland, what are you doing here?
Let me grab a microphone.
We didn't. What? I had no idea you were coming by.
I had no idea you were coming by. You're in my world now, bitch.
We are just.
I own your ass.
We're broadcasting from here. Like
I could have you shanked,
like we do every year. We're always here at Comic Con.
I'm always here at Comic Con. You're not always here at Comic Con.
How many years have you come to Comic Con, Roland?
I've come here for 72 years.
Well, the thing's only been going on for 45.
But I've been here for 45 years.
You're like 25 years old, though.
I've been here a lot. I'm just saying, maybe in past lives as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
But let's stop talking about Linkin Park. It isn't Linkin Park Con.
No, but we were just. It was
isn't
just
Park Con. Lincoln.
No, but it was just a highlight last night. That's all.
Interesting for our listeners. You know what was a highlight last night?
What?
Comic books and science fiction.
Right.
And that superheroes.
That was as well.
Yes, it was as well.
But that's every day for you. How is this any different?
Because here, I am king, and you are peasants.
There's a lot of competition for the nerd crown here. I don't know, Roland, if you're the king of these people.
Did you see Ben Affleck's Batman cowl and cape?
Yeah, I saw that.
So cool.
I mean, I saw a picture of it, I guess, but...
It's on the floor. You can see it in person.
Okay.
By the way, we were standing right in front of it. We saw it. Yeah.
I
didn't even know where I was.
Well, they had all sorts of Batman stuff and costumes.
Yes, they did. It was awesome. You know, it's the 75th anniversary of Batman.
Right.
Right.
And last night, Adam West and Burt Ward and Julie Newmar reunited to talk about the Batman DVD.
Oh, our friend Ralph Garman was hosting that panel. Did you talk to Ralph?
Awful.
Really? He didn't do a good job?
I volunteered, and they wouldn't say, oh, we're going to have the guy from the radio do it. Stupid mistake.
Well, Ralph, in his defense, is a lifelong Batman fan, knows a hell of a lot about the series, and is good friends with Mr. West.
But in my defense, he sucks.
Okay.
All right.
You would have handled it differently then.
But I just thought Julie Newmar looked so hot. She must be like 82 now.
Yeah.
I'd love to.
Yeah.
I'd love to get into that dusty attic. You know what I'm saying?
That is why you're not hosting that panel. I can tell you that right now.
I go, meow, Catwoman.
Now,
nope.
Roland.
Get a little of that catnip.
Nope. That's inappropriate. Are you sniffing the microphone?
Why are you doing
that's
that?
A strange thing to do.
Use me as a scratching post, Catwoman.
Roland,
meow.
Please, let's change the topic. What is this costume that you are wearing? Because we have been down here at Comic-Con. We interviewed a bunch of people out on the floor, and most of them show up in the most obscure outfits we don't even recognize. Who are you supposed to be in this outfit you're wearing?
I am the Phantom Stranger.
What is
the Phantom Stranger?
What is that?
Yes. Phantom Stranger is an interdimensional guardian of the DC universe who goes around correcting other people's mistakes.
Wow, that sucks.
And what does he have superpowers at all, or is he just a...
He's just sort of mysterious like me.
Yeah?
Yeah. This was the last minute thing I threw together because I only had a hat. So I just had to put a hat on, and I put on a white turtleneck, and now I'm the Phantom Stranger.
It doesn't look like much of a costume.
Well, I've got a Plastic Man suit in the hotel. I'm going to put that on later.
Okay.
But I'm trying to find the right color flesh-tone pantyhose.
I see.
Good luck with that.
It is hard to find my size.
Yeah, I bet
it is. Remember legs? They used to come in an egg?
Yeah, the ladies used to wear those pantyhose. Right?
Yeah. That was cool.
Speaking of the ladies, Roland.
Yes.
What do you think of all of the nerd queens that are down here this year?
Yes.
Are you meeting anyone? Anyone special? Anyone capture your fancy?
Well, I did have an encounter with a black canary last night.
A black canary?
Yes.
A person dressed as a black canary?
Well, not a black canary, but the black canary.
Right.
Black canary, of course, is Green Hornet, Green Arrow's girlfriend.
You don't need to tell us that.
Yes. Dinah Lance. Uh-huh. And so I had an encounter with Black Canary.
And what do you mean by encounter?
Well, with things, you know, I complimented on her fishnet stockings.
Right. Right.
And so we went out and spent some time together.
No, you didn't.
We shared a malted milkshake.
I doubt that.
That didn't happen.
Then we went back to my room.
None of that
Now
happened.
It's turning into fantasy.
Now
it all
no,
happened.
Now you're making
no way
stuff
that
up.
And then I took her bustier off.
Uh-huh.
And then her chicken cutlets popped out. And then her penis popped out.
Okay.
Oh. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:54, and we are broadcasting live from the San Diego Comic-Con.
Don't forget, this is the summer of the brand-new K-Rock Summer Sticker at all Southern California Hot Topic locations. You can go to KROQ.com for all the details. And while you're there, go ahead and register to win a 2014 Dodge Challenger trip to see the Black Keys anywhere in North America, plus a $500 Hot Topic gift card. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, man?
What was up with Roland, man?
He was seen
he was throwing me under
angry.
The bus.
Yeah. He was angry at everyone.
Right? He's a dick. Did he try to ask a question or anything like that? Or
I think that's what
panel?
It was. I think I cut him off at the panel, and that's right. Why he was cheesed off at me.
Add Stacey Keebler to the list of another of Hollywood moms who planned on eating her placenta after she gives birth.
Oh, yay. This has got to stop. They still make food, right?
Apparently not. Apparently you have to eat things that come out of your body. Now.
Yummy.
Why is this a thing again? Like what?
There's a school of thought that says there are nutrients and special qualities to the placenta tissue itself that adds to milk production and to help recover from postpartum pregnancy.
So
there's a whole
specifically
whole
for
series
new moms.
Of benefits that eating the placenta gives you, supposedly. I don't know how much science there is behind this.
Yeah. Delicious.
Animals do it in the wild.
Right.
Largely because they're starving.
Yeah, they'll eat anything.
They need to replenish their energy after they give birth.
Animals
know?
Actually eat the young.
They will do that too. Maybe that'll be the next step. Maybe Stacey Keebler will actually eat her child.
Who's hungry? Who's hungry?
What's going to happen is, again, she is sort of a coward. She's going to take it and dry it and put it in capsule form, and she'll be taking it as pills. She won't actually be chowing down.
That's weak.
I'm
do
saying
it
you're
going to
eat the placenta.
Do
eat
it
the
or don't.
Placenta.
That's right.
Get a fork and a steak knife and just chow down, Stacey Keebler.
I'm actually hungry.
Me too. Hank Baskett and Kendra Wilkinson. Kendra, of course, one of the girls next door from Hugh Hefner's Playboy Empire, and Hank Baskett, former NFL wide receiver, not faring so well in their relationship.
Uh-oh.
They were in couples therapy, trying to work out their issues, mostly that Hank cheated on her in a very public way with a transgender.
Oh.
And,
she's uptight?
That's what has got Kendra all
up. Oh, that hurts.
They're trying to work things out.
Just let it go.
As a great man once said.
Yeah, that's right. Oh. Iggy Azalea. I'm not a fan.
Really? You don't like that fancy?
I guess it's sort of catchy, but I just don't like her whole thing. It's like, oh, I'm so street and I'm so cred, everything. She's a middle-class girl from the suburbs of Australia.
Right.
Well, she is now the host of MTV's House of Style.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Following in the footsteps of Cindy Crawford and Rebecca Romijn and Molly Sims, she will be hosting the MTV show about style on August 4th when the new season kicks off.
And I think if you want to be taken seriously as a rapper, you don't go to MTV and host House of Style.
Yeah, right? I agree.
I think she's showing her true colors.
And that's kind of a downgrade for the House of Style brand, too, when you compare her and the other hostesses that you mentioned, and they're, you know, they actually were real style icons and models.
They always went with model, ordinarily.
Right.
Yeah. But I think Iggy Azalea is considered a style icon, too.
Right, yeah.
Very fashionable. Speaking of MTV, it has renewed Teen Wolf for a 25th season.
You mean Teen Wolf?
Easy, Dave. Oh, I love Teen Wolf. The show is a huge property for MTV. About 1.7 million viewers a week.
Wow. That is
no
big.
Kidding. Wow.
Big numbers. And Daniel Radcliffe, who will be on the show later, we've been told, had a bit of an issue getting into our country. Why don't we like Harry Potter? Why don't we let him into our country?
Look, I think Harry Potter should be allowed to come and go across borders. He's freaking Harry Potter.
Agreed.
Whatever he wants. Let him in, let him out.
He should go Passporticus, and then he should just be able to pop into another place. He was in Toronto for the premiere of his new movie, Horns. And then he went to come into the States. But here's the thing. There's two kinds of visas that you can get as an entertainer. A P2 visa for foreign actors and entertainers, which allows you to come in and promote your project and things like that. Then there's an O1 visa, which is for people who possess extraordinary ability in the arts or sciences or things like that. It lets you stay in the country longer. The P2 is just a temporary thing. You have to kind of come and go.
Okay.
So he was trying to get one transferred to the other. But the problem is he was in the middle of the process when he tried to come into the U.S. Customs through the border.
Okay.
And so he was neither here nor there, and it got red flagged, and there's an issue. So he had a hard time getting out. But apparently he got in at 2 o'clock this morning here to San Diego. And they say he will be stopping by.
So he'll be fresh today. When we see
he'll
him.
He'll be fresh and happy, and I'm sure he loves America now. And how's this for a super group? Paul McCartney,
Dad.
Aerosmith guitarist Joe Perry, Alice Cooper, and Johnny Depp.
One of these is not like the other.
They have been spending a lot of time in the studio together and recording music for a top-secret all-star music project, according to Joe Perry.
Huh.
He said, we haven't announced it yet, but this is going to be a big deal, and when the time is right, we'll talk all about it. I would like to see those four guys perform together.
I mean, I guess.
Johnny Depp was a musician before he was an actor.
Right.
He was in several bands.
But is he good?
Yeah, he plays a pretty good guitar, from what I understand.
All right.
A lot of people say that part of the problem with Paul McCartney's solo career is that he needs somebody to work with. He needs somebody to, you know, bounce off of. He works better as a collaborator.
He can bounce off of Johnny Depp?
Yeah, maybe so.
There you go.
And Joe Perry and others. So who knows? Could be good.
Today's celebrity birthday is Matt LeBlanc, a Friends famous 47 years old. Michael Allen Welch of Twilight turns 27. Ileana Douglas, very talented actress, is 49. Model Iman, also Mrs. David Bowie, is 59. Harley Mornstein from Epic Mealtime is 29 years old today. And Tara Patrick, adult entertainer Tara Patrick, turns 36.
Hoochie coochie.
Yeah, hoochie coochie indeed. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey! Well done. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin Abid Show. It is 7:08, and we're broadcasting live from the San Diego Comic-Con.
Yesterday, we walked over to the convention center, and Kevin, you were telling me that as crowded as it was, Thursdays are nothing like Fridays and Saturdays.
Oh, nothing.
Because we could move. We could actually walk the floor.
There are about half the people there yesterday that there are going to be today, and B was like, too many people, too many people, too many people. Then he walked outside. It was 79. It was perfect. Oh, so hot, so hot.
It's been more hot.
Oh, it's so hot. How do people live here?
Ralph, how big, if you know, is that convention center? Because when you walk in, it seems like it's as far as the eye can see.
It is. It's. I think in metric.
What do you want? Square
as far,
feet?
As far as the eye can see.
Okay. All right.
In metric eyes.
And how would you describe to somebody maybe who's listening, who's never been to the Comic-Con, what that convention center hall looks like?
Imagine if you were trying to catch a flight out of LAX and everyone in Los Angeles was flying to the same place you were.
There you go.
All right.
And it's every comic book and every movie and every toy and every TV show and everything you can imagine is all there with representation on the floor. And
it's pop culture concentrated.
So and just... half the people are dressed up in crazy outfits, and we just walked around with the Kevin Abid and microphones and just talked to whoever we could find. Won't you please enjoy? What is going on here, guys?
All kinds of craziness.
Are you super Mexicans? What are you?
It's a Peruvian anime
Very, very little known.
Very popular in the 70s.
No, hardly anybody's heard of it,
sort
really.
Sort of the Sailor Moon of Peruvian anime, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
What made you decide you wanted to go Peruvian 1970s?
Well, last year it was really popular, and we thought we'd just get on the bandwagon, and then we show up this year, and nothing.
How many years have you been Superman at Comic-Con?
Now, 20.
20 years?
Yep.
You've been coming as Superman?
Ever since I was 5 years old, I've been Superman.
What? The costume is?
Padme Amidala from Star Wars.
That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I love sewing costumes, and I love doing super detailed costumes. I made the entire costume from scratch.
And what's the goal when you get dolled up like this and you know, you look beautiful and you have a lot of admirers here on the floor at Comic-Con? What's the goal? Is it because you want to meet people? You want to be in a lot of pictures? What are you trying to do?
It's a lot of everything. It's camaraderie between people who make costumes just like I do. You know, you feel like you have this instant bond when you find somebody else who does a costume like you. You know, you have something in common immediately, and you get to meet so many fun people, amazing creative people. It's a great creative outlet.
That was Star Wars 1, Phantom Menace, right?
Sure was.
The worst Star Wars movie ever, right?
No.
Really?
No, none of them are.
Really?
They're all the
There's
best.
No worse? They're all equally good?
In fact, I love Jar Jar.
You do not love Jar Jar. It's funny that
I do.
I
have a Jar Jar costume.
I'm sorry, just a second.
I do.
You.
I can't even imagine what we're looking at here. What's going on here, sir?
Well, I like Homestuck, so basically I took Gamzee and then I also like Creepypasta, so Creepypasta and Homestuck together.
In English. I'm sorry, I need that in English.
I'm basically a killer clown.
And are a lot of people recognize the comic? I mean, you're getting a lot of reaction here, people who know the character?
A little bit. Mostly people do not understand my crossover. I like to crossover fandoms together, so mostly people will see the horns and they'll understand it's Homestuck, but then they'll kind of look at the face and it's not Homestuck.
Right.
But do you spend most of your time trying to convince people what it is that you are?
Yes, I do, actually.
Is that good?
Yeah.
That glue coming off your face with the hair there, is that a good time?
No, actually, that's very painful because it's slowly, one by one, pulling out my eyebrows.
All right.
I'm Miranda, dressed as Applejack.
Now, we walked up and I said, oh, you're our brony. And then, girls, you said what?
Well, girls can be bronies just as much as boys can.
But I'm confused by that. I thought a brony was a boy My Little Pony fan.
So, okay, as a clarifying factor, they used to have what they called Pegasisters in this whole My Little Pony fandom. That died quickly because it's not as catchy as the name brony. So it's just an all-encompassing term, meaning someone from ages 18 to 30, say, or even older, that love the show My Little Pony.
But Applejack, she's a whore, right?
Absolutely not.
Oh, no, she's not. I misunderstand.
She's the element of honesty.
That's the opposite of a whore, I think.
I couldn't have been more wrong.
There are a lot of Batgirls at Comic-Con. Are you worried about the competition or no?
No, we all work together.
You do?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
Oh, why?
That can't possibly be true, by the way.
There's a union.
I'm calling bull. There's no union.
There's a union.
There's no union.
There's a union.
There's not a union.
Now, I would bet that a lot of young men here at Comic-Con have lifelong Batgirl fantasies. Are you getting a lot of unwanted attention being here on the floor?
No, a lot of guys are actually pretty nice. Again, some of them just lick your face.
I'm sorry, some of them just lick your face?
Yeah, they ask for a picture, and then when you're posing, they're just like, eep.
Guys suck.
Why would somebody do that?
I don't know. I was shocked. I couldn't even, like, do anything. He just licked me in the face, and he's like, okay, bye.
Dylan, hold up your book. What is it you're here talking about today?
I wrote a book called Chocolate Bar to help raise money for my friend Jonah because he has a rare liver condition, and I sold 20,000 books, and I made $800,000.
All right, I'm sorry. I thought you said $800,000.
That's right.
And you are putting that in a suitcase and leaving with a girl to go to South America now, I hope, right? No?
No.
What's the book about?
It's about things that are fun to me, that are awesome.
How's your friend doing now?
He's doing good.
Did he have a surgery?
No.
Not yet. Okay, but he's doing okay.
Do you have any of the $800,000 on you right now?
No.
Okay, so I don't have to roll you?
I did feel like we could probably take them. I think the two of us could probably take them. Well, you're a superhero. That is so awesome that you did that. You're an awesome little kid.
Thank you.
What's your website?
Chocolatebarbook.com.
Cute kid. Yeah, he's already done more with his life than we'll ever do.
That kid was six
very impressive.
Years old, and he sold 20,000 of those for 800 grand.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Anyway,
we suck.
Bunch of goddamn weirdos down here, I will tell you that.
But I love it.
Enjoyed talking to him on the floor. Much, much more coming from the Hard Rock Hotel. By the way, a little bit of a crowd here this morning, stopping by the Kevin and Bean Show. Welcome.
I did want to mention real quick, too, that the video of that is going to be up in about 20, 25 minutes at krock.com.
And we're going to be right back with our friend Zachary Levi, live in San Diego, Kevin and Bean on the world-famous K-Rock.
I wonder if that was on the air, because I think it may have been, Zach.
Oh, was it?
I think it may have
fantastic.
Been.
Fantastic.
We pulled the microphone in front of Zach Levi's mouth with 10 seconds to go, and it took him 1 second to start swearing into the microphone.
Guys, you know me better than this.
What
please.
A professional you are.
Thanks.
Hey, we're live from Comic-Con here at the Hard Rock Hotel in San Diego, 1 hour away from Ian Ziering and Tara Reid from Sharknado 2, the second one.
Oh, my gosh.
They're going to be here. Zach, why aren't you in Sharknado 2?
I tried. They said, look, you are no Ian Ziering, my friend.
Right, exactly.
And you need to stay away.
You are, in some ways, Mr. Comic-Con. You've been coming for years.
Yeah.
And now you got your own little piece of the pie down here with the Nerd Machine, the Nerd HQ. How's it going? We didn't get a chance to get over there yesterday, but how's it going down there today?
It's good. Well, first of all, thank you guys for coming last year and giving us some love and coverage, and we look forward to having you come back this year. And it's going really well. I mean, we had a full day of panels and video games and technology and people coming through and hanging out and buying merch. And, you know, that's really we just wanted to create kind of a little clubhouse, a little bastion for fans and celebrities alike to kind of just catch their breath and have some fun and have little interactions. And all of those celebrity fan interactions, be they panels that we do or photo booths, Smiles for Smiles or signings, all of that goes to Operation Smile, who I'm an ambassador for. And I think so far, just with the panels that we've already sold and the photos that we've already taken, we've raised about 200 grand. I think close to 200 grand already, which is fantastic.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah, and for folks who don't know, the Nerd HQ is right here kind of Comic-Con adjacent, and a lot of the stuff is free to anyone who just wants to come in off the street.
Yeah, it's at Petco Park. You could literally walk in the front gates. There's no pass needed. You can come in and just enjoy yourself, hang out. We have a lot of video game and tech activations and photo booths and things. Enjoy all that stuff. The only things that cost you any money are the merch that we sell as the Nerd Machine, trying to, you know, do some business, and all of the celebrity interactions that all go to charity. And then, of course, if you want to, you know, buy some food or drink, that's sold by Petco, and it's all very tasty.
It's one of the best places to go, because you don't need a badge. You can come down to, a lot of people come down to San Diego for Comic-Con and don't have badges, don't have stuff, and they can just walk in.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, when we started doing Nerd HQ, well, this is year number four now. You know, in the last 10 years, downtown San Diego has really started becoming much more of a festival and less of a singular kind of event.
Right.
And, you know, the Gas Lamp is such an awesome place for it. Downtown San Diego is just a really kick-ass place.
It is.
It's awesome.
It might be the best part of California, by the way.
You think
downtown
so?
San Diego. I really do think that.
I would throw it up there.
I would
put it up there in the conversation for sure, yeah. And there's activations everywhere. Everywhere. I mean, look, you guys are literally in the hallway.
We're in a hallway.
You're in this really gorgeous hallway.
It's a nice hallway, but it is a hallway.
It is a hallway.
Hey, right. We saw Jeff Bridges walk by yesterday, though, so there's some advantage to being in this location.
Yeah, well, you know, I met Jeff Bridges yesterday.
Right, you win.
He came and did a panel at Nerd HQ yesterday. He didn't just walk by in a hallway.
You're cooler than we are.
I know. I've been trying to tell you that.
do you host your own panels, by the way?
Yeah.
So you do the interviews.
Well, no. See, that's the beautiful thing about it.
Oh, that's right. You let the fans do the interviews.
I intro everyone. I kind of, you know, I don't know. I warm up everybody. I go out there. I kind of, you know, do a little, hey, how's everybody going? Throw down some rules about flash photography and blah, blah, blah. Tell everybody, you know, hey, you know, like a sold-out panel. We got about 300-person panel now. 300 people at $20 a pop. That's $6,000 for charity. So I want everybody to know, like, there's an impact that everyone's making. And then I intro the panelists, and then I just sit off to the side, and I just, you know, make sure everything runs smoothly. I help facilitate fans asking the questions, and occasionally I'll throw in a question of my own or whatever, but it's all a fan Q&A. It's an hour of fans asking whatever the hell they want to ask, and it's an hour of panelists being able to answer however the hell they want to answer. I think it's really important for everyone to be seen and heard and kind of acknowledged in that process, especially in entertainment. It's so symbiotic, and the more you can kind of have that conversation,
then I think the better you can build fan bases and show your appreciation for them. So that's what a lot of it's about.
Tell people some of the different cast members that you've had, because you're not going with B and C listers. You got A listers. You got some really big names and people that the fans want to see.
I try and throw in some B and C listers. As
you
much
try
as
to,
I can. Yeah. Just to keep things grounded.
Sure.
We have Ian Ziering and Tara Reid.
Well, I'm sorry. What are you trying to say? Are you trying to say they're B or C list? How dare you, sir? How dare you?
No, I think he was holding them up as our A.
They're our A.
Tara
right?
Reid was actually literally sitting at a table 5 feet from me at my local sushi joint in Studio City the other night. I was like, I think that's Tara Reid. No, it wasn't a sushi joint. It was a pizza joint. Regardless, pizza, sushi, doesn't matter. She was sitting about 5 feet away from me. So as far as panelists that we have.
Or shows,
yeah,
or
show, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, we'll sometimes we'll have entire casts of shows, of television shows or films, or we'll have singular panelists.
I know last year you did Orphan Black.
We have Orphan Black coming back again this year, which
nice.
We're very excited about.
How many Tatianas are coming?
I think seven.
Oh,
we have seven Tatianas. She's just going to keep coming. She's going to keep just walking out the door.
Costume change.
Come back in with a different hat.
I'll be back in 10 minutes.
She's like Eddie Murphy from SNL. I'm plunging on my head, man. Give me some candy. I don't know.
Do you get starstruck at all, Zach? Or have you been around celebrities long enough now that you guys are all in the club?
No, I get super starstruck. I constantly am meeting celebrities and feeling like, I don't belong in your club. Can I talk to you? Jeff Bridges. I was like, by the way, Jeff Bridges is cool as hell.
The coolest guy in the world.
He was so
He's
cool.
He's the dude.
Yeah, he really is the dude. And he actually does kind of sound like him, in his normal kind of cadence.
Yeah.
And I just kept wanting to say stuff and stay away from my special lady friend. I just kept wanting to say that to him. And I was like, oh, you're such an idiot. Don't
the
say that.
The dude abides. I know, but when you see him, he is that. He really is that.
He definitely is.
We interviewed him a couple times, and you are starstruck to the point where you are afraid you're going to embarrass yourself if you ask a dumb question. But it's not his fault. He doesn't make you feel uncomfortable at all. He is just welcoming and sweet.
But I think that's just one of the trippy things about celebrity in general is that, a lot of people fault celebrities. Oh, you change. It's like, well, actually, probably more common is that the people around the person change first. And then the celebrity doesn't know how to deal. It's like, why are you treating me weird? Oh, because you're afraid if you disagree with me, you're going to get cut off or something?
Yeah. Well, does happen some.
But it starts on that other end. I don't know every time, but I do think that I've noticed that a lot.
I agree with you.
Very strange.
I agree with
you.
Have you seen a big difference in your career? This is the voice of Zachary Levi here from San Diego. We're broadcasting live once again from Comic-Con on the Kevin Beach Show.
The beautiful hallway, the Hard Rock Cafe.
Hard Rock Hotel. Since Thor? Have things changed for you in terms of the level of your celebrity?
No.
Because when you're in the Marvel universe, that's a thing.
Yeah, I mean it's super cool to be in the Marvel universe, but I was also a blip. the movie wasn't called Fandral, the Dark World. It was called Thor, the Dark World. And I came in for a few moments here and there to be my Errol Flynn-ish self, which was super fun, and I'm really grateful for it. But it's not like people stop me. Plus, I was blonde. There's so many people that actually know me or know my body of work, and I would get a tweet saying, I didn't even know you were in this movie until I was watching the credits. Which in some ways is very cool because you feel like, I must be an actor because I completely lost myself in this role.
You need a publicist. That's what that means.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. We got to take a quick break. Zachary Levi is here. Where do you want people to go for more information, by the way, if they're heading down this weekend or just want more about to know about the charity?
If you want to come to the event, it's at Petco Park. Just go through the main gates. You'll find them. There's signage and stuff out front. Come in. It's a free event. It's awesome. Come and do some of the celebrity stuff. Raise some money for charity. Buy some T-shirts. Do whatever you want to do. And if you want more information about the Nerd Machine or Nerd HQ, you can go to thenerdmachine.com. Follow us at the Nerd Machine on Twitter and Facebook. And Operation Smile. Go to operationsmile.org, and it'll tell you everything you want to know about the organization. It's an incredible organization. And if you don't get involved with Operation Smile, just go and get involved with some nonprofit. It's so important in this life and in this world. We only get to live it once. Go do something bigger than you.
Even though he's not in Sharknado 2, we're going to invite Mr. Levi to stick around for one more segment after this on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock.
Our pal Zachary Levi with us here at the Hard Rock Hotel, second floor. Hi, kids. Did you say hi to Zach? Everybody say hi to Zach. He's dreamy, right?
Dreamy?
Yeah.
I am.
What technology has turned you on lately, Zach? Something that's new? Because I remember I asked that question because last year when we came over to the Nerd HQ, you had all sorts of stuff that people could try. And I can't remember who was there exactly, but there was all sorts of neat.
Well, the Oculus Rift.
Yeah, the Oculus
Rift. Oculus Rift was there last year, right?
Yeah.
That was cool.
That was so cool. I mean, look, I'm a tech nerd probably more than anything else, just because I love the future. I'm also terrified of the future and our eventual robot overlords. But I subscribe to Popular Science, and I love seeing like all the gadgets that are kind of here and all the gadgets that we're about to get. And like, I probably read about Oculus Rift a year before we even had it at HQ, and I knew about it, and then we had it at the event. And it's just fascinating because it's really taking over everything. I literally did an interview on a red carpet the other day, and I think it was for Variety, and they had a camera that was set up. It was a 360-degree 3D camera that was used specifically so that all that footage could be viewed through an Oculus Rift. I'm like, really, this is what's happening? Like,
what? With an interview?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I haven't seen it clearly yet.
They were lying to you. I don't think that exists yet.
That's not real.
Where do you think that technology will be if it becomes commonplace in 5 to 10 years? Like, how will Joe Citizen use the Oculus Rift?
I mean, well, I think there's a lot of different ways. I think the most...
Robot porn, right? That's where we're headed.
And then he went there, folks.
Yeah,
and
he did that. He always goes there.
He does. Yeah. Most kind of immediately, it's going to be video games. It's going to be where you can just immerse yourself in, you know, Call of Duty or Halo or whatever. You know, pick a game. It is what virtual reality, what we've all kind of wanted it to be. I think the big hurdle is still going to be the movement of it all. Like, you know, do you find some kind of an omnidirectional pad that you can, you know, run forward or back or strafe left or right? Yes, I said strafe. Deal
you
with
did.
It.
I like it.
And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that's going to be a little more difficult to do. But just looking around, looking up, looking down, left and right, and having it head track you, and you can kind of see this whole world, that's now. We have it now. So that's going to apply to video games. And then eventually, I mean, think about this.
Let me just put it real quick there. Yeah. How long before it becomes actually available to the average consumer
that doesn't
have a ton of dough for video? You know what I mean? Like, that's another 2 or 3 years.
I don't know. I don't know what the price point's going to be when it first comes
out. Why does Kevin care about the poor, by the way? What the hell's going on here?
I'm just saying it's because
I want to know about Joe Public. When is Joe Public going to get his hands on this Oculus Rift?
We were talking about 4K TV yesterday, we were talking about, is it worth it? It's so expensive now. You got to wait for the second or third
before anyone can
get it.
Sure, but we all thought that about like LCD flat screen TVs and then Vizio just like sort of putting them in every Costco around the country and everything. And everybody has one. So, I don't know. I mean, you're not wrong. It's going to take a second.
Too expensive now,
I'm
saying.
Yeah, but it will hit the market, and a lot of people will get it. And, you know.
I can't wait.
It'll be interesting. But one of the things I think will be cool, or I'm imagining this will be kind of an application of it, is literally they'll put one of these 360 cameras in a seat at a concert or a baseball game or whatever. And then later on, as a viewer, you will be able to essentially virtually sit in that spot, and you'll be able to experience the concert as if you were sitting there or as if you were watching this baseball game or football game or whatever. I mean, that is going to be an experiential thing for people. Yeah, think about it.
That'd be cool.
You put a 360 camera in one spot, and then it literally is it's filming everything. So later on, any viewer can just sit in that spot essentially and then kind of virtually look at any one of these cameras that was collecting all this information.
So you can literally turn around and look behind you.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
That actually is good. See, you guys always mock me for being the guy who never goes to anything live, who always would rather be at home. But the time will come where being at home will almost be exactly the same as the experience of being there
in
person.
And we will still mock you.
There
will not be any change.
And by the way, almost. It won't be the same as actually meeting people.
I guess.
Yeah.
No one will spill a beer on you, I guess.
Right.
Hey, Zach, I don't see a single thing on your filmography for 2014. Are you working?
I've retired.
What are you doing?
No. I mean,
are you the happy homemaker now?
I am.
Like actually, perpetual
honeymoon. I recently got married, and so that kind of took up a good bit of my life.
Spent a lot of time baking,
and will for the rest of my life.
Right.
Yes, baking. Uh-huh. Lots of baking.
Dude, it's a Hollywood marriage. You've got 3 years tops.
Oh, easy.
Let's all be honest.
Oh,
we know how the stars are.
My heart just hurt.
Look, I'm not saying you don't love her, and it's not great. I'm just saying let's be realistic.
must be real. So there was that. Now HQ, I mean, I'm just trying to survive this weekend. It's, you know, it's big and crazy. And I've got things. It sounds so ridiculous. I got things in the pipeline.
Sure. Right, okay.
I got some irons in the fire. I don't know. I'm just trying to. I banked a lot of the money that I made on Chuck. I really wanted to just be very decisive about my next project. And I want to do stuff that's different than Chuck, but I also don't want to be afraid to do something that's similar to. I don't know. I'm crazy. I'm an actor. What the hell do you expect?
Exactly.
I just want to find the next right project, whatever God's got in store for me that I feel like, oh, that's good. I mean, I just did a play on Broadway. That right. was
you tanked that.
I totally tanked that. That closed in 6 months. Right. Way to go, Zach. So, you know, again, just whatever the next right thing
Zach was the star in the Tupac musical, if you guys didn't know. That's the one we're talking about.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that didn't fly. I thought you were perfect casting.
Wait a minute. Has that already closed?
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's closing. And by the way, Ralph told us yesterday, what was it, Ralph? Bullets Over Broadway? That's gone now, too.
Rocky also
Rocky
closing.
Is gone
Wait,
now?
Yeah. What?
Broadway's shutting down,
You
basically.
Killed Broadway, yeah. Zach. It was, all Broadway. It was pretty healthy
well,
till you got
you're
there.
You're welcome. Somebody had to do it.
All right, so in other words, you don't know when you're going to work, but I'm just going to say this to you. You're not getting any younger, and I think you take those roles when they're coming to you.
Wow, take it easy. He's nice enough to get up and come in.
I appreciate it, but I mean...
Wow!
What, are you okay? We're having fun, right, buddy?
Your marriage is failing, and you're going to die soon.
And still friends, though, right?
Get on the horse. Yes.
And you killed Broadway. Don't forget that.
Yeah, and I killed Broadway. All right. I'm forgetting these tidbits.
Before we let you go, or you get up and storm out, the app. Your people wanted us to ask you about the app.
Yes, yes. So on top of being able to go to thenerdmachine.com or following us on Twitter or at Facebook, we have an app this year that is a Nerd Machine Nerd HQ app, and it is everything you could possibly want to know about the event all weekend long. It's real time.
Beautiful.
So, you know, when we have panels that are – sometimes we add or we have – photo booth sessions, smiles for smiles. Those can happen very impromptu.
Yeah, you have a lot of surprises.
Yeah, lots of surprises that happen because, look, that's the fun of social media or social networking. It's like, you know, we might have somebody do a panel and then they go, oh, you know what, my schedule opened up a little bit. I can go do a photo booth because it's all for charity again. And so that'll happen. And, you know, and it's all of like where we are and what we're doing. And so you can download the app. It's for both iOS and Android. Just search Nerd HQ or Nerd Machine, and it should pop up in that search result.
Thanks for all the great work you do down here and all the money you raise for charity. And you do put on a phenomenal fan event. We can't urge people enough to not, you know, to don't miss that over at Petco Park because it really is a great event, a lot of fun. And Zach is over there, too, by the way, and he's very accommodating with the fans. Everybody gets to come up and meet you and stuff, which is super cool.
I do what I can.
You're with the people, man.
Yeah.
You're with the people.
Hey, man, as an actor, you're only as good as the people who care about what you do. I mean, in the zombie apocalypse, we're the first to go. So it's not like we have any actual skills to offer anyone.
Let's hear it for our friend Zachary Levi, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Thanks for coming by, man.
Thanks, everybody.
Happy
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bead Show. It is 7:56, and we are broadcasting live from the San Diego Comic-Con.
Seems like about a month ago, Weezer was in to world premiere their brand-new song with us. That was this week, you guys.
It was.
that was this week.
How's that possible?
If you missed that interview, you can see that at KROQ.com. Time for the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph, and then Sharknado 2, right after the top of the hour with the stars of that movie.
How's your double chocolate chocolato there, Kevin?
It's pretty good.
A good time?
Double chocolatey
Kevin
chip
has
chocolate.
A Vente cup of liquid chocolate. Someone melted down some candy bars and put a straw in it. That's what Kevin's
the
having
best.
For
Have
breakfast.
Have you had them? They're Starbucks.
No, you know why? Because I'm not eight.
It's not, you know, that's not a cup of coffee. It's a banana split, basically, right? You know that.
Yes! That's my point.
Hot fudge sundae is not a man's drink.
I did have a banana split last night in my room, though.
I'm sure you did.
I got back
is yet. That a euphemism, or did you actually eat a banana split?
I just had a banana split.
I thought that somebody else's banana was splitting something of yours.
Mm. It wasn't that good.
Melissa and Jenny McCarthy are cousins. Did you know that? Melissa McCarthy and Jenny McCarthy?
I did not know that.
They are cousins, but apparently they are not close. Early on in Melissa's career, Jenny McCarthy told her cousin that she would have to lose a ton of weight to make it in Hollywood.
That's rough.
And Melissa never forgave her for that comment.
By the way, that's rough, but mostly true, don't you think?
Yeah, but like if she could, she would, right?
Look, I love Melissa.
Sure, right? And so, also, I think in comedy, it's not nearly as important.
Agreed.
It's not like she's trying to follow in Jenny's footsteps and be a Playboy playmate.
Look, I love her. I went and saw Tammy. I think I'm the only one that saw that because she's just fun to watch.
She's very talented.
She's very talented.
Yeah, they had a falling out over that.
That's not ideal. You don't want to tell people that.
And friends say that she not only proved her wrong, her cousin wrong, by obviously succeeding in Hollywood beyond her wildest dreams, but has no intention of attending her upcoming wedding to Donnie Wahlberg.
Okay.
She's not going to go to the wedding.
Wow. All hell's breaking loose.
The Wahlbergs will be there.
Yeah.
Maybe she's afraid a Transformer will show up.
We got
a Transformer.
I would think she would just go to the wedding just because they're probably serving Wahlburgers at the reception.
Oh, man. See?
She likes food.
It's what? People like you,
I'm
man.
Just saying.
It's people like him.
I'd rather spend a year with Melissa McCarthy, by the way, than 10 minutes with Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's craziness. David Lynch, the director, is branching out. Very very talented guy. He, of course, a movie and TV director, created Twin Peaks on television, Blue Velvet in the movies, Eraserhead. He is branching out not only to music, which he has already done a lot of, but now has his own line of women's workout gear.
No.
Because when you
David,
think of
you
women
think
working
fitness,
out.
When you think athletic wear, you think David Lynch.
No to that, too.
I agree with David.
The David Lynch Scoop Bra is now available. The David Lynch Corset Bra. The David Lynch Leggings. David Lynch Shorts. And David Lynch T-shirt are all available on his website.
Well, all right.
What's his website? Is it just davidlynch.com?
Yeah.
I think it is. Yes. Thank you, David Lynch.
You should go there. Does he still put up the weather forecast every single day?
I believe he does. I think that is part of his
it's crazy.
Regular morning routine.
Here's one of the quotes from the website. Behind all things are reasons. Reasons can even explain the absurd. Do we have time to learn the reasons behind the human being's varied behavior? I think not. Take some time. Are they called detectives? Watch and see what life teaches.
Yes.
I don't understand any of that.
No one does.
Okay. Good.
But now you can work out in David Lynch clothes.
But they're for girls.
Well,
sure, I can pull it off.
There's that.
All right.
And now I'm going to tell you what I know to be the three rules of show business.
All right.
Number one.
Yes.
Look them in the eye and speak from the heart.
Okay.
Number two. You got to go away to come back.
Okay.
And number three.
Yes.
If someone asks you to keep a secret, their secret is a lie.
Ooh. Wow.
That's pretty deep.
That is deep. Let me think about that.
That's written on the jogging shorts, by the way.
Yeah.
And Sofia Vergara is having a huge love affair with Joe Manganiello from True Blood. They are very much in love.
Isn't everyone?
Friends say they recently went out to dinner on a double date with another couple, and they spent the entire time making out with each other across the table from the other table.
Boobies! Okay, that's weird.
That's awkward, right?
Yeah, that's not. That's not good.
Yeah. Although, if I was dating Joe Manganiello, I would just make out
with him. You'd be doing
the same thing? Yeah.
You can't wait until you're not having dinner with someone else.
He's just too dreamy.
Yeah.
All right. Have you seen his body?
I know.
He's amazing.
I hear you.
We're not taking the focus off Sofia Vergara here for a moment, are we?
Because we're saying she's hot, too,
because there's nothing wrong with her.
She's hot, too, right, Ralph?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
I love boobies and vaginas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Women are
sexy.
Big ones, right?
Today's celebrity birthday is Matt LeBlanc from Friends is 47 years old today. Michael Alan Welch from Twilight turns 27. Ileana Douglas is 49. Model Iman, also known as Mrs. David Bowie, 59 years old today. Tara Patrick, they've been married a long time, haven't they, those two?
I think.
In terms of Hollywood marriages, that's like a big success.
I mean, yeah, a lot longer than Zach Levi will be married.
That was a rough patch there with Zachary Levi.
It sure was.
Bean was attacking from every angle.
You buried him, his career, and his marriage all in the last 5 minutes of that interview.
I consider a morning well spent.
I think David Bowie married to Iman for over 20 years. For a guy who used to sleep with Mick Jagger, that's a pretty good track
record. That's not
I
bad.
Think.
You're right.
Tara Patrick is 36 years old today, adult film star. And Harley Morenstein from Epic Mealtime celebrates his 29th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take it easy, man. Okay. We're on the air.
Okay. All right. I'm back. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's the world-famous K-Rock from San Diego Comic-Con at 9 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Sharknado 2 next Wednesday night. Hit it, Steve.
Go, 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 go.
Your greatest fo-fo-fo. Look, there's a lot going on down at Comic-Con in San Diego. There's thousands of celebrities and events and people, but all we care about is Sharknado 2. Ladies and gentlemen, Ian Ziering, Tara Reid joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
How about that?
Live from the Hard Rock Hotel.
Thanks, everybody.
Welcome, you guys. Hi, Tara.
Hi, how are you?
Sharknado 2! Sharknado 2!
Let's start with the first Sharknado, if you don't mind. And your mindset going into that one. You cannot possibly have seen this coming.
Tara?
Tara?
We had no clue. I mean, when it came out and it had such a huge success, we really didn't understand what was happening. And now it's gotten so massive. It's just an amazing experience to be a part of it.
Well, Ian, when you saw the original Sharknado script, there's no way you said, yes, this is it.
Neither of you. I wasn't thinking that this is going to be Academy Award-winning script for me. I kind of actually thought the opposite. I thought it was kind of a stinker. Honestly, I read the script. There were so many holes in it left to be filled by visual effects. And, you know, in a low-budget environment, especially in sci-fi, you got to wonder, are you going to be working with Sid and Marty Croft level of visual effects?
Right.
Am I going to be battling a Sleestak? Or
right.
is this going to be closer to James Cameron level of Avatar visual effects? And, you know, my wife said to me, look, you need to go to work. You got to make your insurance. I get my insurance through my union. So there's quotas. And I was like, oh, damn, I got to take one for the team. And
Were you thinking at the time, this is something that I will probably try to leave off my IMDb?
No one will see it anyway. It can't hurt me, right?
I was thinking that, well, you know what? No one's going to see this anyway. And I do get to chainsaw my way out of the belly of a shark, right. So it's not all bad.
How many opportunities do you have to do that?
This was the first.
Right.
And I didn't think there'd ever be another. So I said, okay, all right, what the heck? And mind you, we were hired underneath the working title of Dark Skies.
Now, why was that? Were they
because nobody
to...
would read a script called Sharknado.
Oh, so they were trying to hide it even from the actors they were trying to elicit. They didn't want you to know what it was.
Subversive. They do that
no,
with all their
found
scripts.
Out, we were like, you know, it was Dark Skies. We're like, okay, that could go on a resume.
Right, right.
Bad.
Not too bad.
And then like 10 days into the movie, after we started shooting, they're like, we're changing the name to the script to Sharknado.
Uh-huh.
And me and Ian were like, you got to be kidding me.
And you
we
were trying to. Were you calling your agents to try to get out of it?
Absolutely.
Oh,
I wanted
so
to be
much,
taken
yeah.
off. I said,
really?
You got to get me out of this movie. They're going to call it Sharknado. I'll never work again if this gets out. You got to be kidding me. My agent said, look, just go with the flow. You know, you're already,
already
committed.
There,
it's,
right?
You know, could be worse. And I'm like, how?
Wait, was your agent just lazy?
No, he was just trying to cool my jets a little bit.
He wanted his 10%, Kevin. That's what was going on. So when you're making the movie, the first one, again, we're still talking about the original Sharknado. The new one airs this coming Wednesday on the Sci-Fi Channel. When you're making the first movie, what is your reaction to the script as you start to act it out and start to see it put together? Are you more encouraged? Do you like it more? Do you still think, wow, this isn't going to end up being good?
The script pretty much changed daily because, you know, we had a blueprint, the script, but working it, it called for some tweaking along the way. I mean, if you're going to commit to it and own it, you have to make it your own.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It happens with every script.
It does, okay.
It does.
All right.
But there was a lot that needed tweaking for this. I mean, to sell, there are sharks flying out of the sky, you know, you really have to commit to that material. You have to, you know, you have to find a way to make that organic. And
wait,
after
you mean
got,
sharks weren't really falling out of the sky?
I know, shocker, huh?
The best movies have the scripts written on the fly while they're being filmed, though. You know that, Ian. You've been in Hollywood a long time.
I have.
That's how all the best movies are made.
It doesn't change. It's a homogenous process that doesn't really end until the editors are done with it. I mean, so much can change.
Did you guys see it before it aired?
No.
You
I never
didn't.
Saw it before it aired. Did you, Tara?
No, I didn't see it before
Didn't see it before it aired.
No.
All right. Neither
so,
of you were worried slash interested
I did
about
zero
what?
Press before Sharknado
we did nothing.
I didn't talk about it. I thought it would just be swept under the carpet. I'm in Vegas. I'm working with the Chippendales, and my phone in between sets. My phone is blowing up. I'm
so this is the
possessed.
Night it's airing, right? And you're not
July
even 14th, watching it.
2013.
Right?
I wasn't watching. I was working.
I was in Mexico.
You were in Mexico, and is your phone blowing up too, Tara?
I couldn't believe it.
I was working with the Thunder Down Under. I remember when that happened.
And not only are people texting you, but they're texting you with, oh my God, this is great, right? They're loving it.
I saw, oh my God, Sharknado, and I turned off my phone. I'm like, oh my God, my worst fears are
it's
realized.
It's blowing up in my face.
Right?
Oh no.
I literally had to turn my phone off to get it to stop alerting because I needed to save some battery power for my wife to call. God forbid there was a problem with the kids. So I turned my phone on. It would like be a possessed phone. I turned it off again. And it wasn't until after the show that I realized – wow, people are digging this.
People love this. Yeah.
Thank God.
All right, so the next morning, your agent calls or someone from Sci-Fi calls, or how do you get the word that it's a sensation?
It was crazy. It became like a phenomenon, like overnight. Like I don't even know how to explain it. It was just...
The text messages, the phone calls, friends. I had like 300 text messages. Twitter exploded.
When did they start talking about a sequel?
Very soon after.
The next day?
Well, it wasn't Sci-Fi that was talking about it. We're the fans. It couldn't wait for the next Sharknado. When are we going to get the next Sharknado? Where's it going to land? What city is going to be destroyed? And the demand was so instantaneous that it wasn't too far after that they brought Sharknado,
to everyone's Sharknado 2 to everyone's attention.
The second one.
And now they've already greenlit a third, even before number two is aired.
Now, Tara, I'm going to ask you before we get ready to take a break here, because you're not only an actress, but you are a scientist. The chances of a second Sharknado have got to be low, though, right? Like, and the fact that it would happen right where you guys are, infinitesimal that those odds would happen, right?
You're overthinking things.
Maybe just a little bit.
All right, we'll take a break. We will be right back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Our friend Chris Martin from the band Coldplay joins us in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock. And then Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter himself, just after 9 o'clock this morning, live from San Diego at Comic-Con. So you guys, I am Ziering and Tara Reader here from Sharknado 2, which airs Wednesday night at 9 o'clock on Sci-Fi.
Full title, please.
Sharknado 2, the second one.
Thank you.
You guys know, and I hate to, you know, I'm not trying to be a downer here, but when you're an actor, you think about that, you know, that sad day way in the future when you pass away. How am I going to be remembered? It's no longer 90210 in American Pie. You guys know that, right? Now it's going to be Sharknado actor, Sharknado actress.
Well, that's as, like, if I die tomorrow.
I think if you die in 50 years, dude.
I'm hoping I still got a long road in front of me.
Look, two Oscars away, you're still going to be the Sharknado guy. And that's something to be proud of.
You know, like any journeyman actor, I'm hoping for a long career. I feel like I've got legs for several series in front of me. I think Hollywood celebrates their heroes. And
absolutely.
I think being on 90210 for 10 years gives me a little bit of that cachet.
I'm complimenting you, Ian. You're misinterpreting. Oh. I'm saying Sharknado is going to be what you'll be remembered
how
for.
How do you top that?
I'm okay with
how
that.
Do you top it?
Bean's question is how do you top that?
You have to do something different. You have to reinvent yourself. You have to innovate. Now, you grow by innovating.
Tara told me during the song, guys, that she's already seen Sharknado 2, the second one.
Oh, okay.
What can you spill on that? Because you didn't watch the first one ahead of time. You've seen the second one ahead of it airing. What was your impression watching it, Tara?
When I saw the second one, I really loved it. Like it's really funny. I mean, you think how can you top it? And when you watch it, it does.
A lot of sharks,
but it's really funny. Yeah, it's
in a tornado.
Really good. You got it
over New York City.
You're brilliant.
Thank you.
I've been asked a lot, how do you beat that? And I've tried to come up with a tagline, but it has to be campy, just like the movie. So I figured Sharknado 2, it bites just like the first one.
Yay! All right.
Or Sharknado 2, as good as the first, only better.
Yeah.
Kind of just as campy as the movie is in itself. If people liked Sharknado, they're going to absolutely love Sharknado 2.
How are you with a chainsaw?
I'm kind of a badass with a
really?
Chainsaw. Yeah. I've got skills.
I saw him get out of a shark's belly with
him. I saw that, and that happened.
And I did it very delicately with razor-sharp precision, I drew on my ice carving experiences with my little micro chainsaw.
Okay, all right. And the chainsaw is real. That's not CGI. You're actually handling one for real.
And in the second one, in Sharknado 2, it's a timber chainsaw. This thing is like 4 feet long. It's about 45 pounds. This isn't something you can really wield around. Most of my kills were just bracing myself with the chainsaw because you can't really swing this thing. This is no Home Depot special.
Understood. Wow.
This sucker is a
impressive.
Major...
But when there's sharks coming at you, you do whatever you have to do.
You do what you got
to
do.
Protect your family. Now, Finn and April, you guys are married. Status of that marriage? Healthy, happy, strong?
Estranged.
Estranged.
You know, we're trying to work our way back. Finn really got caught up in the fame and glory of being a world champion surfer and lost April to it. And now that he realizes the error of his ways, he's trying to rekindle that. But, you know, April's kind of moved on. She's had a few boyfriends. And, you know, since they've been through this traumatic experience, it kind of has brought them back together. So they're together, but they really haven't really – the glue hasn't set.
Is
so
that,
we're working on that.
Is that how the story gets to New York City? Or how does it? How
no,
does
well, basically, we write a book about how to survive a Sharknado. So we're
like you
in
do.
New York, yeah.
Like you do.
So we're in New York promoting our book.
Ah,
yeah.
What are the chances? Another Sharknado.
100%, Kevin.
That's crazy.
All right.
What are the chances a car can turn into a robot?
Right. See.
Okay. So.
All right. It's called show business, people. Look it up.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about some of the other fun things that are in Sharknado 2, the second one. Now, do you kill Perez Hilton? Because I think a Nobel Peace Prize is in order for you, if that's true.
It's a beautiful death.
Okay.
Beautiful death.
Good. All right. Bismarck. He
lives. He wields himself a. Great knife. Bismarck was a lot of fun to work with.
Spoiler alert, by the way.
Yeah.
How about Peppa from Salt and Peppa?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, we're going to leave that vague right there.
All right. Okay. Sugar Ray's Mark McGrath.
He's great.
He's great. He,
you're dead alive. Have, dead alive.
We don't want to tell
alive
you.
Alive as well.
Yeah,
okay.
You
got to
leave a little something, right. something.
This movie has everything.
Yeah, everyone that brought bribe money got in.
Okay. Sweet. All right. By the way, we have a clip. I'd like to play the clip.
Absolutely.
Sharknado 2, the second one.
It's happening again.
You really think there's going to be one of those shark storms here?
Yes!
I'm not crazy. People have to know the truth before it happens again.
This is the Big Apple. Something bites us, we bite back.
Well, I was with you once, and I'm not going to do it again.
Holy shark.
They're sharks. They're scary. No one wants to get eaten. But I've been eaten. And I'm here to tell you, it takes a lot more than that to bring a good man down.
Yeah.
A lot more than that to bring a New Yorker down.
Yeah.
You know what you just did, don't you? Jump the shark.
Come on.
USA.
Right?
USA.
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 Unbelievable. Wednesday can't come here fast enough. July 30th at 9 p.m. on the Sci-Fi Channel, Sharknado 2, the second one. Be sure to tweet and Facebook it. It will be the TV event of the season. Ian.
We'll be tweeting live. I've got a lot of pictures from behind the scenes. You can find me at Ian Ziering and at Tara Reid.
Fantastic. Thanks, you guys, so much for coming in. Really enjoyed it. Good luck with the movie.
Thanks for having us, guys. So appreciate it.
The great Coldplay there, huh? How about that Coldplay song?
Actually, that's Chili Peppers, actually. But before that, we played Coldplay.
Right.
And
the opposite of Coldplay. They're Red Hot.
See?
Yeah, good point.
See there?
Yeah.
Hey, we hope to talk to Chris Martin from the band Coldplay in a second. His people did call and said they would call right back. But they're like foreigners and junk, so maybe their right back is like in a year. And our right back is like in a minute. So I don't know what's going on. But we don't have him on the phone.
We are
going
to have Daniel Radcliffe, though. It's the first time he's ever been to
another Brit. That's amazing.
So far the Brits are letting us down.
First time he's ever been to Comic-Con. How is that possible?
I don't know.
I think he has been here before. He was just wearing the cloak of invisibility.
Ah, that could be.
Hey, while we're waiting to get word from Mr. Martin Ralph, this might be a great opportunity for people who couldn't get off work, so they're coming down today to Comic-Con. There's still some chances to see the great Ralph Garman in San Diego this weekend, right?
No, the great Ralph Garman will not be here this weekend.
What about the bad one?
The adequate Ralph Garman has showed up. I am doing a panel this afternoon in Hall H, another big Hall H panel, where I will be introducing all of the upcoming films for 20th Century Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Some great films, including Let's Be Cops.
Very
funny,
that looks
comedy
so funny.
With Jake Johnson.
I can't
Johnson.
Wait for that.
Got a chance to see that. It's very funny.
Oh.
Kingsman, The Secret Service, which Colin Firth plays a James Bond-type secret agent.
Awesome.
Who trains.
Boy, that's casting against type, isn't it?
Yeah, he's amazing in this. And Samuel L. Jackson plays the villain in it, who wears a flat bill cap and has a lisp. It's hilarious. And then after that, tonight at the House of Blues here in San Diego, at midnight, we go on stage with Hollywood Babylon, me and Kevin Smith.
When you woke up this morning at 4 a.m., was midnight looking like a good idea for you?
No, sir, it was not. Especially when I was up last night till midnight trying to prepare for the show that I'm doing tonight at midnight.
Okay.
So I'm running on about 3 hours sleep every day.
And you're signing your Batman 66 comic book as
tomorrow,
well, too?
Tomorrow I'll be doing that at the DC Comics booth on the floor. I think it's booth number 1915. I'll be there at 5:30 signing copies of Batman 66 meets Green Hornet.
That's pretty cool.
Fantastic.
Yes,
all right, we are live in San Diego at Comic-Con, Hard Rock Hotel. A bunch of Kevin and Bean listeners are here with us. Daniel Radcliffe in moments. Harry Potter himself. Ralph cuts the showbiz beat. But first, though, we promised you our friend Chris Martin from the band Coldplay. We were just listening to their new single called Sky Full of Stars. Chris joins us from a mysterious, undisclosed location. Mr. Martin, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hello, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
We are great. We enjoyed so much spending time with you in May when Ghost Stories came out, and you've been a busy guy since then. You just got back from Australia. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we were in Australia. We've been in Japan. We've been in London. We've been in France. We've been kind of all over the place, and but we haven't been to Comic-Con, but basically everywhere else, and it's been wonderful. And now we're sort of stopping for a little bit.
Well, why don't you get on a plane? You should get on a plane right now and come to Comic-Con.
How is Comic-Con?
Fantastic.
It's insane. You've never been to one before, right, Chris? You have no idea what it's like down here, right?
I mean, I have some idea because so many of my friends go there or go and promote things there, and it sounds incredible. What outfits are you wearing?
It's about 200,000 people down here, and I am one of about 100,000 of them wearing a Wonder Woman outfit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a sexy beast, I'll tell you that right now.
Chris, you mentioned Australia, and I wanted to talk about the video that you shot down there because it's for the new song, The Sky Full of Stars. And I haven't seen the video. I don't know if it's out yet, but I saw the stills from the day that you shot it. And you guys are all running around with drums on your back. What's happening?
We wanted to, because the song is kind of dancey and, you know, nightclubby, we thought, well, let's make a video that's the exact opposite and just play it on the street like buskers. And so we made these busking outfits, like these street performer outfits, and then just went and filmed it on the street. And it was sort of chaos, but it turned out okay, and the video came out 2 days afterwards. It was the quickest video we ever made, but it was crazy on the day.
That's a pretty quick turnaround for a video, I imagine.
No kidding. So you just show up and you basically put out on your Twitter feed, hey, come to this location. We're shooting a video tomorrow. And then you're there and it's just hundreds of rabid Coldplay fans that you spend the day with. What was that like for you?
Yes,
I mean, being kind of in the middle of all of those people, was it scary? Was it fun? Did you talk to a lot of your fans?
We talked to a bunch of people, and then there was a lot of news crews and stuff, and that was interesting, like asking them to not be in the video, because the first time we did the take of this video walking down the street, every couple of seconds like a news guy would come up with a microphone asking a question. He'd be like, actually we're trying to shoot a video. They were all cool after a while, and it turned out okay. So it was very much live and in the moment.
When we talked to you in May about ghost stories, you told us about A Sky Full of Stars and Avicii's role in it. Can you recap for those that didn't hear that? How did you get together with Avicii? What did he do on the song?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, Avicii is actually a young guy called Tim, and Tim Bergling. And we thought, well, he would be really great to help produce this song. And that's what he did. He just brought his Swedish expertise in and helped us to get it to where we wanted to get it to, because we didn't really know certain production stuff. You know, we're so lucky that we're able to call people up and, you know, pick their brains. And he's such a sweet guy and talented, and it was just fun. And I'd love to do more stuff with him, because he's an inspirational young man.
You can certainly tell his influence on this song, A Sky Full of Stars.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. Are you going to be on his next album as well?
Possibly, yeah. If I make the cut.
This is the voice of Chris Martin from the band Coldplay here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about, among other things, the new single Sky Full of Stars and the new video that they shot on the streets in Australia. When you came in, Chris, you told us that you guys were not going to go on tour for Ghost Stories, that you had a limited number of shows. I think it was about a half a dozen, including, you know, the intimate venues like Race Hall, UCLA. Now that you're done with that, are you sticking to that decision? Are you still thinking, well, this is not an album we want to go out and tour with? Or did you get the bug back a little bit and now you think you might not mind doing a few more shows?
We got the bug back, but in a different way. And I'll explain it to you next year.
Okay. Oh, next year.
That's quite a tease.
Wow. All right.
Well, it is July, but all right.
Just keep the radio on, I guess, at some point. Speaking of new music, since the last time we talked to you, you have another interesting collaboration for Zach Braff's movie, The Wish I Was Here song. We have not had a chance to ask you about that. That was fascinating how that all came about. Could you explain?
Yes. That was a good experience in terms of making something without any of the people ever meeting. So we did a song for Zach's movie, Wish I Was Here, and then it was sung by this wonderful girl, Cat Power. I don't know if you know who that is, but
Cat Power, yes,
of course, yeah,
terrific. And we did it purely by text. I texted her and said, "Is there any way we'd sing this song?" She said, "Yep, okay," and then she did it, and then it came out.
But when Zach approached you, his intention was to get a Coldplay song out of you. And you wrote the song. You guys wrote the song and decided you didn't want to sing it. How come?
No, I never wanted to sing it. I knew that it would be better with a girl. And then he said, "What about Cat Power?" And I said, "That sounds great."
Isn't that interesting? It's such a good song. I haven't had a chance to see the movie yet. Did you see it? And what did you think?
I saw it before all the music was done, but I loved it, yeah.
Fantastic. Wow. Yeah, definitely check it out. If you are a if you're a Coldplay fan, that is definitely something you want to have, is the Cat Power "Wish I Was Here" song. All right, Chris, let me ask you one more thing before you go. There's a report on the internet this week that you are your hometown of Exeter is trying to honor you with something called the Freedom of Exeter. There's an online petition. They want you to get some sort of recognition from your hometown. What's that all about? What's the Freedom of Exeter, and what would it mean to you? Is it like a key to the city in our country?
I have no idea what you're talking about, but it sounds great.
Wow.
But normally it means, well, what it means in England, the freedom of the city, I think, means that you can park anywhere and that you're allowed to have sheep on public land.
Well, now you've made it.
Wait, so you can park anywhere and have sheep?
Yeah, but I'm ashamed to say it. I'm going to name drop quite heavily here that Bono told me that.
Nice.
Oh, look at that.
Nice.
Look at that.
That's pretty strong.
Well, this is an actual...
Those guys have it in Dublin, Ireland. They have the freedom of the city. You too have it.
I just want you to know, Chris, this is not just some guy with a petition. I mean, this has worked its way up to the MP and the Lord Mayor and everybody who's behind it, and they are trying to honor you and get this thing going. So I hate to spoil the surprise, but it sounds like you have a very exciting phone call in your future, sir.
Okay, great.
All right.
You have to act surprised, though.
Okay, I will. I won't mention that you said it live on radio.
Beautiful. Coldplay, Ghost Stories, the current album, is out and available everywhere. And look for the new video of A Sky Full of Stars. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Chris. You're one of our very favorite people. Thanks for all the support over the years on K-Rock. Our best to the band,
guys,
and we'll talk to you again soon.
I love talking to you. Yeah.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, bye-bye Chris. Now. Ladies and gentlemen, Daniel Radcliffe joins us here on the Kevin Bean Show. Live from the Hard Rock Hotel, second floor, San Diego Comic-Con. Hi, Mr. Radcliffe.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me.
You've never been to Comic-Con, although the legend has it that you were expected at a previous year.
I was, yeah, but that wasn't actually... I was never planning to go that year, and it was never organized that I would go. But Warner Brothers did a slightly... they basically said, Harry Potter stars will appear, and heavily implied that I would be here, when at no point they had worked out with me that I would be
But they said Schmanuel Schmadcliffe, though. In your defense, they did say advertise it that way.
It was... So, yeah, so I was...
Who were you? And Harry Potter. I don't understand.
I know. I understand.
That's one of the dragons, I think.
One of the dragons.
Okay. Yeah. So, in other words, the audience thought you were going to be here, but your intention was never to come. And they were disappointed, it's kind of.
Yeah, I'm very sorry.
Fault.
Yeah, no, I was really sorry if anybody was very disappointed those times, but I was never.
When we came in this morning, we were told Daniel Radcliffe might not make it.
Oh, no.
Because of the whole thing where you took on the Canadian Army? I don't know what happened. What happened.
No, basically, it was just some weird glitch. There's like a computer program which authorizes the printing of visas, and it shut down in, I think, all of Canada and possibly nationwide. And
So you got stuck there?
We got briefly stuck. I was supposed to come out here the day before, and so the 24 hours sort of after that were just worked out, like figuring out how can we get out there.
So they smuggled you into the country? Is that what happened?
Let's say that.
You in the trunk of a car and drove you across the border?
That sounds even more exciting. So, yeah, let's go with that.
I know it's unrealistic to ask this, but the whole reason they have this paperwork and the whole reason they want to know who's going in and out of countries is because they're trying to stop terrorism, right? That's the gist of it. Don't they look at you and go, I think we're safe with this one?
I don't know. I think they think maybe I'm leading a double life, or, you know, this is all some incredible cover.
It is true that no one would expect you to be working for the other side, so that would be kind of genius, actually.
People think Harry Houdini might have been a spy because he had all those connections. So, you know, maybe I'm just doing the same thing.
Wow. Yeah. So what do you –
Wait a minute. Hold on. Are you?
I couldn't possibly say.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So you haven't seen anything of Comic-Con in San Diego except getting to this hotel this morning, right?
Absolutely right.
It's insane out there.
Yeah,
you know
I know.
That, right?
I can't wait. I'm really
I can't
excited.
Imagine what it's going to be like for you, though.
I don't know either. I'm really excited.
I'll tell you,
to find
if you
out.
Walk out those doors, you will be killed.
With love.
Okay. Well, yeah. No, I would hope
so. Still dead, but with love.
Okay. Well, that's a better way to die.
Okay. All right.
Now, we're going to talk a lot about – we have Daniel for a few minutes. So we are going to get into this crazy new film that he's in promoting called Horns. It opens up everywhere on October the 29th. But just real quick, what are you doing here this time? Are you guys on a movie panel?
Is that what you're doing?
I'm going to be with Joe Hill and talking about the movie and, yeah, just, like, trying to get people as excited about it as I am.
Now, Joe Hill is the very popular mystery and horror author who happens to be Stephen King's son, by the way, but he writes under the name Joe Hill, and he's tremendous, a best-selling author in his own right. And this book was very, very popular for him. Now, did you know anything about the book ahead of time?
Not before I read the script, and then I obviously went back and read the book and was just like, you know, I'm always looking for things that are, you know, have like a really original voice, and particularly things that, you know, deal with I like things that deal with sort of a very grounded, earthy situation, like a situation grounded in reality.
That's not this,
No, but that have, but it is. That's the thing. It's something that is grounded in emotions we can all relate to about hurt and loss and things like that. But it just takes a really crazy way into it.
If I read this book, I would think they'll never be able to make this a movie. It's a fever dream.
But I know, but I mean, I think, you know, people think that about loads of books, and they've done it again and again. But it's, you know, I do, you know, obviously things change in adaptation. And so, you know, people who are really big fans of the book, I do think will be really big fans of the movie. But obviously, I think actually, you know, films like Harry Potter sort of have really, and indeed Lord of the Rings, sort of really adjusted people to the idea of, you know, adaptations and things.
And reading is for losers, too.
And that, you know,
they make a movie, there's no reason to ever read a book. tell the kids why the film is called Horns.
Okay, that's one of the simpler questions you could ask me about the film, actually. Yeah. It's basically my character, Ig. Everybody in the town that he lives in thinks that he has murdered his girlfriend, and after like a terrible drunken night, he wakes, and he hasn't, by the way, and then after a terrible drunken night, he wakes up with sort of small bumps on either side of his head at first, and then as he's looking into the mirror, just a small horn just bursts through, and it's about...
He has horns,
yeah,
people.
I have horns, and they kind of grow to like full devil horns within sort of 3 days, and over that time, I realize that they kind of give me the ability to sort of draw confessions out of people with this new satanic side.
So, see? Yeah, and it's great. And I know what you're thinking. That old story?
Yeah.
You've seen
really
that before.
Really? Again?
You did walk up to a cop car and got them to admit that they were gay and start making out.
Yeah. that's what I love about the movie. It's like, it's really, you know, it's incredible. It's I like films that are hard to pin down in terms of genre. And obviously this is being sort of billed as, you know, horror or fantasy or whatever. But it is, you know, it's really funny. Like the first third of it is like this kind of brilliant, like absurd comedy, and then the middle part turns into this, it's got a really beautiful tragic love story in the middle, and also it kind of has moments of proper sort of slasher horror and revenge. Yeah.
You've been involved in a lot of special effects work in your career, but probably nothing like this. I mean, you sprout wings, you fly, you're on fire, there are snakes. I mean, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I've never done a full body prosthetic before, ever, and that was something I was quite nervous about, because I'd done a full face on Potter, and it was not a comfortable experience. I was nervous about it, but Mike McCarthy and Mike Fields, the guys that did the work on me, were just like, I mean, they're artists, they're amazing.
Were those real snakes?
They were mainly real snakes. We had one scene with 100 live snakes.
Oh, dear God.
I have like a 6 foot long python wrapped around me for the last third.
That was a real one?
That was a real one.
You know, you're allowed to say no to some things, right?
I know, but I don't like it. If you would, you like, there was, I can't be the only person here who would like the chance to just like have a snake. Yeah, someone's nodding. Thank God.
Have a python
you,
around
sir.
Your
yeah,
neck?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but
cool.
He's shaky. He follows us everywhere he goes. That guy's a nut job.
All right, listen. We have to take a very quick break. Our guest is Daniel Radcliffe, making his first ever appearance here at Comic-Con. The film is called Horns, by the way, and it is honked up. I'm going to recommend drugs before, during, and after the movie to completely enhance your experience with horns. It opens up everywhere on October 29th. More with our guest in a moment right after this on the Kevin DeBeach Show at K-Rock.
Oh, God. This is so gross.
Oh, yeah? What?
Look at this.
No, describe it. I'm not going to look.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin DeBeach Show at 9:09 live from San Diego Comic-Con with Daniel Radcliffe.
Hello.
Daniel, how's it going so far?
Great. Yeah, it's brilliant. It's the first thing I've done, but it couldn't have been a better start.
Well, we're delighted to have you talking
about
it.
It's all downhill from here, Daniel.
Yeah, it
sorry.
Really is.
It's hard to tell you.
No, I know.
This is the best.
I'm painfully aware
offer.
Of that.
Your new film is called Horns. It opens up everywhere on October the 29th, and it is perfect for Halloween week. Go see Mr. Radcliffe's movie. And Kevin asked you a great question right as we got off the air last time, which is this movie and others that you've done since Potter Rap, you're really attracted to the dark side.
Yeah.
What's that about?
I don't know. I wish I could explain it to you. I I guess I find generally it's more interesting. I think things that don't have any dark side have a tendency sometimes to lean towards being overly sentimental, which is something that I really just like can't stomach when I read a script.
Romantic comedy.
I've done one of them.
Okay.
I've got one of them called What If, which is about to come out in a couple of weeks. And that is genuinely like a very happy
and
film.
You don't kill anyone in that?
I don't kill anyone.
No fire.
I sort of do push someone out of a window, but it's not. Right. But other than that, it's
pretty. How do you sort of push someone out of a window?
Well, it is an accident.
Okay. All right.
If you believe there are accidents.
Okay.
just as an actor, you're looking for things that stimulate you. Now, yeah. was there a thought process involved in, I need to go the opposite of what people have seen me doing up till this point?
I think it's just that, you know, when you've played one character for 10 years, it builds up in you a desire to play as many different things as you can. I remember towards the end of Potter, I see actors like young actors like Aaron Johnson and Eddie Redmayne, sort of young British actors who were doing like a variety of roles. And I remember thinking, God, that, you know, that looks like fun. And so, you know, it's been really exciting since finishing Potter to try and branch out and do as many other things and as many other, you know, styles of things, because it's finding out what I like and what I'm good at. And, you know.
There's so much talk right now with this film Boyhood that's out with Ethan Hawke that everybody, I haven't seen it yet, but everybody's just raving about it. The movie that was shot over the course of 12 years, you watched this kid grow up.
That was the same as Harry Potter.
That's what we did with you.
Yeah.
That's what
we
did with you.
Absolutely.
And it must be such a bizarre experience. You're one of the few people in the world who has all of that video of you growing up your whole life. Is it all a big blur to you, or do you have lots of like vivid memories of every year, every movie?
To be honest, I have pretty vivid memories of it all. It's a really sort of clear period in my mind. It's, there's sometimes when I like struggle to remember what happened on what movie or like what year I'm thinking of. But, you know, generally speaking, it all is still very clear, and it was absolutely amazing. I wouldn't have, and as much as people think I grew up on camera, which I obviously did, you can watch, you know, me age on camera, but, you know, also I sort of, you know, I grew up on set, which to me is that's how I think of it, and I love film sets, and film sets gave me a place where I felt like I belonged, and I hated school, and, you know, to get to go and work in this amazing environment was just a dream. So as soon as I got into it, I was like, I'm never going to let this go.
Were you happy or sad when that experience ended? Did you feel it was time and you were glad to leave Potter behind?
I mean, yeah, in the short term, I was really sad. I remember crying a lot on the last day just because it's been your life for 10 years. Yeah, I know.
But seriously.
It is, I know. It's that thing of just, you know, it's you've been with people for 10 years and you suddenly wonder, am I going to see these people again or when am I going to see them again? But, you know, it has, and also, you know, you worry about, because I never used to worry about the future until journalists would start saying to me, so do you think your best years are behind you and things like that when I was like 20.
And, great question,
yeah,
20.
Yeah, it was really nice. And so, you know, I would start to think, well, you know, will I be able to keep going after this and all that, but I was always pretty determined to make it work.
It is interesting the choice that you made, and I have a lot of respect for you to do Broadway, you know, to do stage work, and also to not, I'm sure you've been offered a lot of movies that went on to become huge hits for other actors that you decided not to do because you wanted to go in the direction of what interested you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I want to go in the direction of scripts I feel passionate about. And honestly, most of the really good scripts that I've been reading have been are from kind of smaller indie movies, and they're more challenging and kind of a lot more interesting, generally speaking, with the exception, obviously, of Victor Frankenstein, which we finished filming earlier this year for Fox. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to tell
you. You were telling me that you had to record the dialogue for Horns for a safer version than the one that's going to be in theaters.
Yeah, we had to do the airplane safe version of Horns, which is not an easy movie to make airplane safe, because it's like there is one scene where I'm just repeatedly screaming the F word in my car.
Did you change it to?
I think I dubbed that as and then they give you, what's great is that there's actually like a Bible of all the swear words in the English language next to what the studios suggest you replace those words
with.
What
was the most absurd?
I think the one, there's Samuel L. Jackson gets a special mention in there for you.
From Snakes on a Plane?
Yeah, for Melon Farmer. and there's a few like that. I can't even imagine
that movie on an airplane. I just can't.
I mean, it's going to be super
it's
weird.
Be
if
tough.
You watch it on an airplane, I don't know. It'll be.
I'd like to suggest don't watch it on an airplane.
I think, you know what? I'll back you up on that.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But watch it. It's a great movie.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it's perfect for Halloween, as we said. I know Daniel's got to go here, but I'm so grateful that you had the opportunity to stop by and
no
see
worries.
Us. Seriously,
thank
it's
you.
Really fun to meet you,
cool,
and congratulations on all your success, and enjoy your Comic-Con, man.
Thanks, man.
Seriously,
I will
have
yeah.
fun. Daniel
thank you
Rock,
very much, everybody. Cheers.
On a Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is the Kevin and Bean Show live in San Diego for the Comic-Con. Thank you, people.
Wow. Quite a crowd.
Hi. Honestly, I assumed they would all leave when Daniel Radcliffe left.
Yes. I almost left when Daniel Radcliffe left.
I thought that was going to be the case.
Around. By the way, before we get into the final showbiz beat of the show here and of the week in San Diego for Comic-Con, hi. You're pretty.
Oh, jeez.
Wow, that just...
What? You just walked by.
That went south so
she
fast.
She just walked by.
Yes, but you don't say
I was
that.
Just saying hi.
No, you didn't just
creepy,
say hi.
Creepy, weird bastard.
You said you're pretty.
Did I say that out loud?
Yes.
I didn't realize that.
Hi. You're pretty.
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
Literally, a girl just walked past our little table.
I'm being...
Not a girl, a goddess. Anyway, what I was going to say is Matt writes in, who's listening in the 949, wherever that is, that area code. Hey, how are you guys not talking to Kevin about cutting off Chris Martin on the phone today?
Yeah, yes. Nice job, Kevin.
Fact, yeah, Kevin.
Chris Martin.
Seriously.
Yes, Kevin.
Let's talk about that. I'm in San Diego.
Then how did you do it?
Chris Martin got hung up on.
How did you do it?
By beer mug.
I doubt very seriously.
Everyone here saw me. I put my hands up immediately. I have no control over the phone from San Diego.
Like a wide receiver who commits pass interference. And you threw your hands up immediately. That's
me.
How the refs knew it was you.
And every soccer player ever.
That's right.
It was not me. It was beer mug.
I'm just saying a little bit of respect for the great artist that we have on the Kevin
Beach
show.
I love Chris Martin.
Yeah? Then why'd you hang up
I
on
didn't.
Him? Then why'd you hang
I'm
up on
I'm in San Diego. I had no control.
You sit on a throne of lies.
That was beer mug.
All right, time for a final look at the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph.
I want to give heads up. People who are heading down. We still have some people who have been tweeting and sending me emails saying they're riding down as we speak to come down to Comic-Con. We'll give you some heads up, some tips, things to check out.
Yeah, turn around.
No, don't turn around.
No,
come on
down. That's what I meant. Come on down.
Things you should definitely check out. The Mattel booth in the center of the con.
Yes.
They've got this amazing car. If you're a car person, they've got the Darth Vader car. It's a black sports car that is shaped to suggest, and the front certainly does, Darth Vader's helmet.
I don't remember him driving a car.
Oh, he did, yeah. Yeah.
He drove a car.
Return of the Jedi.
Darth Vader.
He got on the Imperial Highway. And
I don't remember that part.
Yeah, when he goes
you
home. When he goes
me?
Home.
I don't,
he parks
sorry.
In the garage. Remember when Mrs. Vader comes out and tells him that...
There's no Darth Vader. There's no Mrs.
Like,
Vader.
Why didn't you pick up a gallon of milk? I called you. I called you at the Death Star. And they have that big argument.
Wow, my memory's pretty bad.
Was that a deleted scene? Maybe you just saw it on the Blu-ray.
It is a car to honor Star Wars.
Oh.
And it's awesome.
Okay.
Check that out. Also, the DC Comics booth.
Yeah,
check that
strong.
Out as well. It's pretty strong. They've got a Batman display there, including all the costumes from all the movie Batmans. Christian Bale.
It's really cool.
And Michael Keaton and George Clooney. Yeah, George Clooney. But, yeah. And they've got the new Ben Affleck cowl and cape hanging up there, too. So if you want to see what Batman's going to look like in the upcoming Superman v. Batman, you can check that out.
We were on the floor interviewing people, Bean and I, and I said, I'm going to go take some pictures. And he said, of what? And I said, this is cool. Look at all the Batman costumes here. What are you doing? He just wanted to get out because there were too many people.
Yeah.
Way too many people.
Did he say, you're pretty to anybody as they walked by?
I don't believe he did. Yeah.
I never say that. I don't know why you guys make
you
that
just
up.
Said
I never
that.
Say that.
All right, let's take a look at the showbiz news for a Friday. Stacey Keibler, former girlfriend of George Clooney, former wrestler, and Dancing with the Stars contestant. She has announced, like so many other weird hipster mothers, she's going to eat her placenta.
Stop it.
One, why? Two, why do you announce it?
Great question.
Isn't that odd?
Two great questions.
Stacey said she's going to be different than the other women who have done this. However, she's not going to wait for the baby to be born.
How?
She's just going to eat her placenta inside her body.
Just well, that
suck
is
it
new.
Out.
Just suck it up.
All right.
No, I kid, of course. She's going to have it made into pills that she can take every day. Placenta pills.
I don't get it.
That's,
I don't get it, and I don't like it.
That's half-hearted at best.
Supposed to be filled with all kinds of good stuff for you.
You pills. Guys were giving me a hard time yesterday when I told you how awful pregnant women are. And this is just...
They're not awful.
This is
they're
more
wonderful.
Proof.
We're not saying that at all.
This is more proof that pregnant women are bat-ass crazy.
That's Bean, for those of you that can't tell us apart. I know that's most of you.
Yeah, send him an email. Let him know what you think.
When somebody hates on women, it's Bean.
Does Stacey Keibler get on a plane and order everybody where they can and can't sit to?
Bean's referring to his flight down here, which was 2 hours, by the way. And a pregnant woman asked if he would switch seats, and he said no. You know why? Dick.
Well, I don't have a place to put my stuff.
Yeah.
Don't make me bring out the song.
No, we don't have time.
We don't have that kind of time.
We don't have time for this.
Don't make us bring out the song.
Song?
Sorry, Ralph, but they're asking for it.
All right.
Oh, hold on. You're going to have to wait there.
All right, Ralph, you continue, and then we'll interrupt you with the song.
Great. I'm looking forward to that.
It's going
to
be good.
It's going to be a pleasant experience for
everyone. I think
it's
a good plan.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I'm glad you
went.
Beans a dick. 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 What a dick. 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 Beans a dick. 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 What a giant dick.
I'm trying to work.
Beans a dick, 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 dick.
You know
beans a giant dick.
The audience is enjoying this
dick,
too much.
Dick, dickity dick. Dick, 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 dick. Beans a dick. Bean, bean, bean,
okay.
Bean
all
is
right.
A dick. Bean, 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 bean is a dick. Bean, 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 bean is a dick. Bean, 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 bean is a dick.
Popular to be in.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Matt LeBlanc from Friends is 47 years old today. Michael Alan Welch from Twilight is 27. Ileana Douglas, the actress, is 49. Iman, model and wife of David Bowie, is 59. Tara Patrick, the adult film actress, and by that I mean girl who bangs people on camera for money.
Yeah, we know what that
little
means.
Kids right. Here with us today, Rob. Yeah.
Oh, they know bang.
All right.
Bang, bang, bang. I see kids doing it in the playground all the time.
I didn't realize that's what you meant. Okay.
Plus, oh, yeah. Tiny Batman over there was dancing to Beans of Dick.
Yes,
so.
He was. Oh, yeah, Dick. Dick, you're not worried about the kid hearing. But bang, oh, no, we got to draw the line there. And Harley Morenstein from Epic Mealtime. He is 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, listen, before we hit that song and sing that song and get into the weekend here, Beer Mug, are you prepared to perform here?
No, we did not talk about it. So... There you go.
This show has just gone right into the dumper.
Oh, I think it's speeding up.
We're spinning out of control.
We're picking up momentum.
Yeah, towards a cliff, right toward hell. Yeah,
as
yeah.
You know, all Southern California Hot Topic locations have the brand new K-Rock Summer Sticker. You stop by, you enter to win all sorts of great prizes. But especially this afternoon from 1 till 3 at the Hot Topic in West Glendale at the Galleria, our man Lightning is going to be down there. And go on by, score tickets to see Bastille, A Day to Remember the 1975, and so much more. Details at KRock.com.
All right, anything you got to say before we say goodbye? Not a thing, no. Have a great weekend.
We're hey, thanks for coming down and seeing us, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, yeah, thanks, everybody here. You guys are the best.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Wah, wah, wah.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That makes you feel pretty dumb, doesn't it?
Roll another one.
Open up a blog.
Just like the other one.
What? The what?
This one seems to be about to quit.
God damn it!
And I need another hit.
Don't think I forgot, let you slide, let me ride, just another homicide. Yeah, it's me, so I'm a talk on, stomping on easy streets that you can walk on. So strap on your clubs and have your locks. Oh, look.
Roll another one.
Give the man some croissants, will ya?
Just like the other one.
I have to admit, I have no idea what this means.
Seems to be about.
Excuse me, who even are you?
I don't have another cent.
Hey, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Go Dodger!
I don't want to guard that joint.
I am the one who knocks.
Just pass it around.
Someone needs to explain to me hygiene here.
I don't want to guard that joint, my friend.
Let's burn this mother down.
Just pass it on down.
we've had a very good run, and now it's time to say goodbye. No hard feelings.
Okay, get out, go home, beat it, take off, just get them out of here.
Hanging it up after this.
What's that?
I quit, is what I'm saying. Don't got the stomach for it. Not like some.
You wonder where all this is going to end.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.